And welcome to the Awesome Comics Podcast, the place where small press comics make one hell of a big noise. I can't do it. I can't say it this week.
Just go.
I'm sorry.
Keep going.
Yeah, I'm going to keep going. What you lovely people don't know is that one of the guests this week already took the royal piss out of me about my intro, so he's totally thrown me off. But he'll be introduced in a moment. And I've actually said something nice about him, so hopefully he'll feel sorry about it.
But probably
not. No, you won't.
Doubt it. I've only known him about 5 minutes, and I doubt it, to be fair.
No, that's true. Yeah. He's a sociopath. speaking of sociopaths, yes, welcome to our Halloween special. Hey, it's episode 120. I expect a cheer when I say that, but no one says anything.
Try again.
Right. It's our Halloween special.
Hooray!
I'm not fucking joining in that. What do you think's wrong with me? I'm not your emotional toy thing.
For anyone out there who's wondering, I'm Vince Hunt, creator of Red Mask from Mars, and this week I'm joined by the creator of the webcomic Vanguard, Dan Butcher.
Hello.
The man who, much like Michael Myers, is also known in many circles as The Shape, it's Tony Esmond.
Hello.
Yes, and as I said, we're joined by two special guests this week.
Yeah.
Yes. First up is an artist whose work inspires dread, fear, and a lot of wondering where on earth he gets all his black ink from. It's the creator of the ACP fave, Hell the Hunter, and not only that, but he himself is one of our favourite people. It's Mr. Dan Charnley. Say hello, Dan.
Hello.
That's not how he's going to talk through the whole episode.
No, it's not. I'm just being polite.
Oh, well, that wore off quick. And our next guest is one of the minds behind the publishing outfit, the Sinister Horror Company, and written such titles as Burning House, Maldition, Mr. Robespierre, and he was also the creator of the charity horror anthology The Black Room Manuscripts. He's also my co-writing compadre and the person who I run all my scripts past to make sure I don't make a complete fool of myself. He's responded to this wonderful intro by already being horrible to me before the show even started. It's Daniel Mark Chant.
Hello. Hey,
dude.
Hello.
Yeah. We've got three Dans. Is this a bit before now? We've got three Dans. That's cool, isn't it?
Yeah, we have three Dans, and it could get confusing, so we're going to make it very, very simple. Dan Butcher, what are you going to be known as this week, Dan?
Guns.
He's the guns.
Obs.
Dan Chant, who has known me for a very long time, so Tony has named him Unlucky Dan.
I'll take that.
Yeah.
So any time we say unlucky, you've got an answer to that, Dan. I'm sure you're used to that.
Yeah, that's cool.
And Mr. Charnley. Now, you've got two cans sitting in front of you, so should you be Toucan Dan, or does that
Toucan Dan?
Yeah,
I would
like
a spaghetti down, western.
Yes, make a note of all the names, folks. Play along at home because we're probably going to forget throughout the whole show. And
in about a minute, I'll guarantee that.
Yep. So. We're just going to ask a question to a Dan, and no one will know who we're talking to.
Toucan Van Dan.
Oh God!
Oh, yes.
Oh dear. So, but before it all goes wrong, I think it's time to thank our fine sponsors, Comic House. we might as well. we might as well thank them before it all goes wrong afterwards.
At least you're trying to be a professional. That's why I like about
I'm
you.
I'm trying. It's quite fitting because I feel like this is going to be the most horrific episode that I've ever done.
Have you got a nickname? Have we got to call you something on this?
Me?
Yeah.
What? Why?
I'm going to call you Jester Diablo for the whole episode.
Jester D.
Yeah.
Jedi.
Right. I'd like to see how long you keep up that pretense. But I tell you who doesn't keep up a pretense, and that's Comic House.
Because they
give you nothing but quality independent comics all the time. Not only do they help keep the lights on and keep all this nonsense going for free every week, but they're kicking ass in the name of independent comics. On the website at the moment, you'll see the likes of Sliced Quarterly, which is a publication we've talked about many times on this show.
Yeah.
Untethered, Alex Automatic, and more, as well as their own awesome anthology, which is jam-packed with loads of great indie talent. They're also behind...
And you.
Yes, I'm also on there. Now, they're also the guys behind a new app, which is basically Netflix for comics. So, and if you're not sold on that kind of concept, something's wrong with you, basically. I mean, I've been binge-watching Netflix
dead
this
inside.
Weekend. You're dead inside. Like a lot of us here on the show, but you're better than that, people. You're better than that. So for all the latest info and notifications about that app, go to comichouse.com/app and sign up today. And for everything else and to see the great titles on offer, just check out comichouse.com. There you go. Well,
awesome.
I've made it past the spawn. Everything's going to be a hurdle this week, isn't it?
Yeah.
But it's the Halloween special. And
not only
do
I did it to you in the end.
It's a bit late, isn't it? It's a bit late.
Yeah.
Not only do we have two guests joining us to talk about all things horror and horrific, but this is in some ways extra momentous because this time last year, Tony Esmond couldn't make it.
Yeah, I couldn't do the horror one. Dobes did it for us, didn't he?
He did indeed.
And was very good. Yeah.
And like always, Tony can't make it on the weeks that he has loads of notes and lots of things to talk about. And then he can't make it, and he leaves us right in the lurch, don't you, Tony?
Yeah, I think I wrote loads of notes about From Hell last year, but I can't find them now, so I'll do something different.
No, I'm sure you've
there's a couple of episodes where, like, one of us takes lead, and I think that one, Tony was like...
I was right up for it, yeah.
This is my bitch, and then he had to bug out.
Yes, but you're here now, Tony, and that's all that matters. You know,
yes.
We drafted in an extra couple of Dans for you.
So, it was good.
Yeah. So I think it's only fitting that you kick off this week's chat.
I've got a question, haven't I? So I sent, let me get to the page I've written this down. Hang on a second. I sent Guns, Toucans, and Jester Diablo a question. And they all forgot about it, didn't they? And I've just mentioned it to Unlucky. Unlucky, are we really doing this? Okay. Right, so the question I posed was, you get to write a horror story as a writer for any artist living or dead, who and why? Okay.
Right.
So, shall I go first while you are preparing your answers?
Why? Because you're getting the
person
who's
actually prepared. I've got
mine. Oh, have you? Okay.
Oh, Christ, have you?
Oh. You go on then, Guns. You do yours then first. Go on. And I'll follow
my one, the moment you said the question, I sort of took a moment to think about it, and it instantly jumped to this guy.
Yeah.
It's Casper Wingard. Absolutely fantastic. And he's alive, so he would be able to do it.
Nice.
I don't know what you guys have done. kind of his art style, some of the stuff he's done on Twisted Dark.
Yeah.
I just think kind of horror story I'd like to write, he would have the chops to do.
What was that great T-Pub book that you got, Tony, that you talked about?
The one with a skeleton.
Yeah, the guy with a skeleton.
I'm trying to think it's something like Troubled Souls or something like that, but I can't remember now. It's not Troubled Souls, is it? That's the Garth Ennis story. I'll try and figure it out while we're talking, yeah.
It was basically like the black silhouette of the guy, and you could see like the kind of the red skeletal inside of him. That was it, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I can't remember. Yeah.
But I just think I love his style anyway, man. I think he would do a really good job on another horror title.
Yeah. He's UK based, isn't he?
I believe so. He has popped up in a couple of cons.
Okay. I don't think I've ever had a chat with him.
He did Limbo. Am I right in thinking that?
That's right. He did didn't he?
It was called Tortured Life.
That's it.
That's a I can see him fitting with your sort of writing as well, Dan.
Yeah, I can as well. Yeah, I think that'd be a good fit. Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
All right, then, Tony.
Okay, mine. I'll go then. I am a big fan. I know. Hang on, let me get to the page. Toucans. I know we've talked about this. Is sort of Italian sci-fi horror stuff like The Fall of New York and Bronx Warriors and that sort of thing.
Oh, yes.
All the movies that came out post Mad Max that they then went and sort of ripped off. I like that sort of nasty, gory sci-fi post-apocalyptic. Everyone's become a bastard kind of story. I think I would like, if any of you guys has a Val Mayerick, you know him?
No.
Yes. I have. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You probably know him. He did a load of Cars. He did probably most famously Howard the Duck.
Yeah.
Yeah. He did loads of stuff from heavy metal, The Living Mummy, Eerie and Creepy. He did some great stuff on the Marvels, the Frankenstein's Monster, Colour, sort of monthly series. Just fucking, he's got this sort of very sort of strange style, which is, if you didn't know him, you'd think he was part of the sort of Southeast Asian invasion. You know, the Ernie Chans and all these sort of guys who came about in the 70s. You would think his style was very similar to that, because he appeared, I think mostly because he appeared in a lot of the black and white magazines around the time, Ortiz and all these sort of people. But he's got his characters almost, they look sort of very sort of lanky and powerful, but they've also slightly ragged and decrepit and wretched, and there's a real sort of horror vibe to it. I remember seeing him do his Khazar stuff. He did a Khazar series, and he did like flying sharks and sort of zebra skinned people, and it was just fucked up. Do you know what I mean? Like properly sort of disturbing. And yeah, so I think him drawing like a sort of real sort of broken down sea, sort of the New York's fallen, it's all, overgrown and buildings are falling down, or in the desert, a lot of these things are stuck in the desert, aren't they? Or on the beach in Spain, which looks like the desert, that sort of thing. And have two sort of gangs of mutant stroke punk stroke heavy metal biker gangs, fighting each other in the sort of near future when all the oars run out.
Is this you pitching us right now?
Yeah. And that's what I think I'd like him to do. He used to share a studio in the 70s with Howard Chaykin, Walt Simonson, and Jim Starlin, and he's got that sort of really sort of cool 70s style that I kind of like. So, yeah, it would be Val Mayerick would be my answer.
Nice.
Jester?
I'll go next. Now, the first one that popped in my head was, of course, the classic Bernie Wrightson. But I'm not going to pick him.
Brilliant.
But I'm not going to pick him. I would say I would go for a story that's very much... try to do a haunted house sort of story, like House on Haunted Hill, that kind of tale, and get someone like Eduardo Risso to do the art for it. Yeah. Something that's very much like a set in the past, it's a period piece, something very atmospheric. Because I don't think many people now do shadows and like just menace the way he does. The stuff he does. I mean, it's not horror, but 100 Bullets.
Isn't he doing Moonshine? I've not read Moonshine, but that's
Moonshine's amazing.
Moonshine is fantastic. A great book.
Yeah,
Which is also a period piece. Isn't it? It's Ask Prohibition. Yeah. Moonshine, isn't it?
Yeah, but
I think that's probably one of the. Sorry, that's one of the best werewolf comics I've seen in years.
Yeah,
it's absolutely fantastic. Nice. Brilliant.
He draws a good werewolf.
Yeah.
Cool.
Do you feel like, generally, maybe a question we can come back to, but a lot of horror nowadays is reaching back and telling stories set in the past so they don't have to kind of handle problems like smartphones and stuff like that?
Yeah, I think so. I think that just helps with so much, doesn't it? Because technology does kind of ruin horror. Does that make sense?
And life.
Definitely. Yeah, you don't have to tell me about that anyway.
Yeah.
We'll probably get on. We'll talk about this a bit more, actually.
Yeah,
I think. But yeah, Eduardo Risso is what I do. I don't have an epic pitch like Tony had, but
that's right. Yeah, you only had a couple of minutes, didn't you? Because you've got that, didn't you? The question.
Shut up.
What about Unlucky Dan?
Well, you see now, I didn't.
Oh, look.
No, yeah. You're two. You're two cans, aren't I?
I'm going back to the other can. All right. I might have to be three can at this rate. Anyway.
Go on then, Unlucky. This is so funny. I get to call him this.
It's all right. It's what your mum calls me.
Oh. I almost did that. I thought, no, that can't, I can't go that far.
I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry. Much like Vince, I mean, I totally echo the Bernie Wrightson thing because you can't really sort of beat him too much. There's a couple of people, I think, you know, obviously you've got your Mike Mignola's, perhaps Francesco Francavilla. And
Francavilla on a few covers, I think. That's a good...
I think, yeah. Personally, I think Gene Colan would probably be the best choice. You know, again, I don't have an epic pitch or anything like that, but I just think his style, his, you know, the way he... I don't know, just the way he composes the images with that sort of classical thing, for me, it would probably be him.
Oh, I love Colan. I love his stuff.
Well, what sort of thing would you create for someone like that then, Dan?
Oh, God.
vampires are the obvious choice for Colan.
Yeah.
You know,
I don't know. Perhaps a guy that wears shades, he kills vampires. Someone's always trying to ice skate uphill.
nice.
No, it would be something sort of on the classic mythology of monsters. I don't really have a solid idea beyond that, but I just think whatever I could do, he'd probably represent it perfectly.
Considering that was dropped on you last minute, you pulled a...
That's a class choice.
Yes, yeah. Good one.
Yeah, I almost said it myself, actually. Oh, yeah, I love his stuff.
Yeah. All right, then, three cans.
Oh, right, hang on. You see, considering again, I had forgotten, I'm not going to lie. There's sort of two, I suppose. I mean, obviously, like you say, you've got the Bernie Wrightson, but I was torn a bit between two of them. There's a guy called Pablo Marcos. Have any of you heard of it?
Yeah, stuff. Yeah.
Who did the zombie one, which is absolutely fantastic. Among, I think he did Conan and stuff as well.
He did, yeah.
Yeah, which is just absolutely amazing if you've ever seen them. I mean, they were brilliant because they were, of course, because they were magazine style, they got away when the comics code was kicking off, and they got away with sort of more violence and a wee bit of nudity. But I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy, but honestly, probably a guy called Brian Lewis. Does anybody know?
Oh, yes, he did the Hammer Horror.
Hammer Horror.
Yeah, he did all the sort of the I think he did Kronos. He did the Mummy.
Yeah. And of course the Quatermass experiments, which he's the monster at the end of the Quatermass experiment in his comic strip, is like amazing compared to obviously the old black and white movie, which I love anyway. But, but honestly, if you've ever seen his stuff, I mean, tragedy upon tragedy. He died when he was like 49, just at the point when he was going to possibly become massive, but it just never happens. I mean, he was like a sort of stalwart of the British comics industry that never really made anything. And he got a job. I think it was Des Skin said he couldn't draw or something. I think it was. Is that the tale? If I remember rightly. Yeah, Des said, you can't draw. And he said, well, I'll do something for you for free. And he did this amazing sort of horror image, like almost a Vampirella thing, that Des Skin was just like so dumb for it, he just couldn't believe it and got him to do Hammer Horror. And then, of course, he died before he really became... 1978 he died, yeah, before he became...
Oh, wow. Okay.
You know, a much underrated and massive guy in sort of British comics.
Yeah.
Sort of,
I know Jason Wilson was messaged me the other day because he's been sort of trying to get a reprint of all that stuff. But I think it's tied up a little bit in copyright and all that sort of thing. Because they did jump about, didn't they? You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's some private company that owns all the Hammer stuff now, isn't it? And I mean, they have started because they brought the Mummy out, haven't they? It's Hammer comics.
And Kronos is at Titan, yeah. There's a few things now at Titan, aren't there? Yeah.
Have you seen that Mummy film?
What, the film?
Yeah.
What, the new Tom
one?
Cruise
the new one, yeah. As soon as you said the Mummy, I just had flashbacks to that. And it just
hit my
really
balls with a hammer around that. Yeah.
Having said that, I will say that it is, you know, it's not a good film at all.
Go on.
I actually kind of enjoyed it.
I did. Okay. I enjoyed it, I've got to say. Yeah. It's shit. But then again, you know, it's that shit films can sometimes be all right. The Tom Cruise bit bemused me, but anyway, that's another thing. But
they kind of shot themselves in the foot with the old, this is the first part of a massive franchise.
Yeah.
So fucking hold your horses. You haven't even fucking, the film hasn't out yet.
Yeah.
And Russell Crowe with his ever-changing accent as well. is he Bangladesh? Is he Irish?
I like to think he's just doing that to fuck with people because I like it. But he's just, I think he's, I'm bored with this. I'm going to change my accent.
Wasn't that whole thing just basically ripped out of Hellboy? Like the kind of, he's set up some government agency to investigate all this kind of shit. I've not seen the film, So
yeah, they set up a secret, but it's all. But the people who are involved in it are all like, you know, like, well, he's like Dr. Jekyll, spoiler to him, and Mr. Hyde, and then something goes, and then something goes in this awful Cockney accent when he turns into Hyde. Apparently, I don't know terrible. Why.
It's awful. Brilliant! Yeah. I've got to watch this.
Yeah, you'll love it.
I watched Ninja Terminator today, and that sounds even better than that.
That sounds good.
What was the tagline on the Ninja Terminator DVD, Tony?
I can't remember. I've got it here.
Hang on, I'm going to look it up. You carry on.
It's Ninja fucking terrible.
I can imagine.
Yeah. That was the tagline.
Yeah, fucking terrible.
That's what I've fucking been.
I watched the Italian version of Nightmare on Elm Street, which if you type it into YouTube, it comes under Texas Chainsaw Massacre 3 for some reason. Don't know why. So there you go.
When the three ninjas fight, only one will survive.
That's it. That's it.
Yeah.
Now, see, that makes me want to watch that.
Yeah.
What? But how is there just three ninjas in it? Is that it?
Hello?
Hello?
Has he gone?
Oh, I don't know. Well, yeah, I dropped out. Sorry.
Is there only three ninjas?
Is there only three ninjas? Yeah, well,
no, because it's one of these movies where they've just got loads of bits from other films and sort of stapled them together. It doesn't make any fucking sense at all.
Or like a Michael Bay one.
Yeah.
Michael Bay's Ninja Terminator. Just imagine that.
Yeah. It's got a bit of Kez in it. It's got everything in it. Do you know what I mean? Rita Sue and Bob Sue appears in it.
Sounds very avant-garde.
Lars von Trier's Transformers.
I watched that No Retreat again, and that's fucking awful. I mean, that gets worse upon every watching. I've only seen it about twice.
I will say this. We talked about No Retreat, No Surrender last week, and I haven't seen it since I saw it as a kid. I have a real soft spot for that film, which means I'm not going to watch it again.
We're so going to watch it.
Yeah, probably. Yeah.
That's what she said.
Oh, hey. Oh dear.
So that's our choice of comics.
I think that went all right.
Yeah,
I think so.
Yeah,
I think so.
Very good. Yeah, and very good answers. I'll
say the point I brought up about the set in comics. It seems to be certainly a trend nowadays. Horror comics setting a trend of telling stuff in the past as opposed to kind of to get over problems of technology, shit like that.
Yeah. If you're stuck in a house, just ring your mum and she come pick you up because you got a mobile. Yeah, that sort of thing. Yeah.
It does fuck me off a bit.
WhatsApp it.
Yeah.
When you're watching like modern horror films and they're like, oh, this my mobile phone's run out of battery, blah 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 blah, and then every film has to.
Yeah,
they have to come to that thing of where they can't use their mobile phone, and it's fuck's sake, you have to do this again. So, like when you get it set in the past, that's kind of you don't really have to worry about that.
Yeah, that's true, actually. Yeah, very true. I think just have to spend a bit more money on the costumes, and then you're right.
Yeah,
I think horror comics have a hard enough time of being effective as it is without technology coming into it as well. I know that's quite a sweeping statement. Against
I agree totally.
Definitely.
But I think it's very difficult to certainly get an effective scare, or like you can creep people out with artwork, and I'm sure all of us have been freaked out by a bit of artwork in our time. But to genuinely scare someone, I mean, have you ever read a comic that has given you nightmares?
I struggle to think of one.
Probably some of the Richard Corbin stuff.
Yes, that's a good point. I've got Richard Corbin written down. Yeah, his stuff is fucking weird.
Is it Rage More, that one that he did about the pig? Yeah. And that is just weird. That, or any of his like Edgar Allan Poe stuff that he did.
Yeah.
It just that really does sort of set a, you know, in your...
What was that series in heavy metal he did? I can't think of it now. But all the men had like completely disfigured and all the women had got their tits out, which, fucking hell, I can't remember now.
Is it Den? Was it Den? Something like that. Yeah.
It's something like Bem? No. Yeah, I think you might be right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Did you say sounds like...
Sounds like Croydon.
Ben's one about rats, isn't it? I think, isn't it?
Is it Rat Gods? Is that one of the ones he did as well?
That's horrible, that. That we all are like, oh, God, yeah, they're awful in that.
Jeremy Brood is the one I'm thinking of. Do you remember that one?
Sort of
the bald-headed guy. And I remember thinking, that is just fucking disturbing to look at. You know, but you're right, Vince. I think you can't compare horror comics with horror movies, because horror movies, 99% of the time, depend on that flash to another image, don't they? You know, that.
Yeah.
I'm not going to call it a jump scare, because that's more of a sort of more of a modern thing. But being able to have a sort of shocking image somebody presented into you isn't something that you can really do with comics. Even the page turn doesn't do it. You know.
Yeah.
Doesn't benefit of that. You know.
Yeah.
So as comic creators, you lot, I mean, how do you think you could build tension and horror in sequential art?
Oh.
I was thinking about that, and I think you've got to go to mood rather than scare.
Yeah.
I think that's definitely it. And I think same with maybe horror is the same maybe as humor comics. The writing's got to be a bit more on point, because you can have people punching each other in a superhero comic and it'll work, won't it?
Yeah.
You know,
yeah.
You need a sort of stronger structure and a stronger sort of how would you call it? Sequential, you know, work on it you know, between the writer and the artist, you're doing a lot of other things.
I think pacing is hugely important with horror. Certainly some of the books that I've recommended in the past have had horror sort of flavours to them. And it's always been that, you know, the splash page after the page turn, you know, something shocking that will, you know, that those are great comic moments. But they have to be handled well. Like you say, there has to be an atmosphere building up to it. I don't need to see people dying on every page. I think in some ways I think that's overdone with a lot of horror comics. I think it's a easy go-to gratuitous and gore. I know certainly with some of the is it Avatar Press, the ones that put out Crossed?
Yeah.
I mean, that they have a rabid fan base. You know, there's an audience for them. It's just that's that's not my cup
of tea. To me, the first six issues of the first six issues are really well done, and I defy you to find any sequence in The Walking Dead that's better than that. But then I don't know why they just went off on one about fucking dolphins and all sorts of things, didn't they?
Yeah,
you know, I mean, it just went mental.
It was a shock for shock's sake, I think.
Dolphins.
Yeah, it goes that bad.
Yeah. People being beaten to death with horse members.
Yeah. But there's a sequence in the first trade where they find a load of kids and they have a conversation and they say, look, the kids, it's not, may as well kill them. So they kill these kids, but they don't do it on camera, as it were. You know, they do it and they come away and it has implications what they've done, but then they just seem just to go into sort of just fuck murder orgies,
but,
didn't they?
Was that when Ennis stopped writing it, though? Because he only did the first arc, didn't he? And Ennis is always, you know, people get him for his shock tactics, but most of it's all done very well, I think. And
one bit where they have the circle of salt that fucking cracked me up. There's the family that sort of said, no, we're out on a run, and they make a circle of salt saying that they won't be able to cross it, and then it goes badly wrong for them because they can't.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah. Because it's more realistic, you mean? I think it sort of started going that way when, is it David Lapham? I think he took it over for a while, didn't he?
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Alan Moore's written it recently in the last couple of years, isn't he?
Yeah. Yeah.
Although, so I haven't read those.
Yeah. I bet that goes.
I always think Alan Moore wrote one of the best, like, horror tales in Swamp Thing. And then what was the one that was about the Winchester house, you know, the Winchester rifle house? You remember that one?
Oh yeah,
that is really freaky, if you know the legend of the Winchester house. I don't know if anybody does. So the I think it's the great granddaughter, the guy who invented the Winchester rifle. You can go and visit this house now.
Right.
She was haunted by everybody who'd ever been killed by a Winchester rifle. And when you go to the house, she'd have doors, but when they opened, it was just a brick wall or windows that didn't open anywhere. And she built all rooms that you can't get in. And she built all these rooms and stuff. And Alan Moore wrote a tale where the Swamp Thing ends up in this house. And some of the scenes are just absolutely horrific. There's like two gunfighters fighting each other across a table as they're blowing each other to bits.
Oh, I do remember this.
Yeah. It's one of the really early ones.
Cassette type.
That's it. Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah. I'll take it back. I remember reading The Anatomy Lesson and thinking, fucking hell, that's shit me up. I remember reading that and thinking, that is, they've, because Alan Moore hadn't done Watchmen at the time, and he was kind of a little bit new. We'd read him a bit in 2000 AD, and I remember thinking, that's fucking clever and disturbing and frightening.
Yeah.
And, you know, because there'd been a little bit of a, not a bad run on Swamp Thing before that, but it was a bit by the numbers compared to the Len Bernie Wrights and stuff. And then suddenly this book took off, and it was one of those hot books. I remember it was one of these books that, you know, you couldn't really afford to buy 2 weeks later because it was, you know, it hit all the shelves in the book.
Was it one of the first ones that took off the approved comic cords thing or something like that?
I've got a feeling it was, dude. Yeah,
it was that, it was that almost started, wasn't it? Yeah, amazing.
Constantine and Swamp Thing kind of started Vertigo, didn't they, really?
Yeah, basically.
I certainly think the new technology that certain people are using to tell comic books, like some of that 3D stuff, that would work great for horror comics. It really would, because it'd enable you to have that kind of impact of the next thing coming along and it being a bit of a kind of a jump scare. Not that we should try and strive for that kind of thing, but to kind of have it in the arsenal of storytelling abilities is good. I think too many films kind of rely on a jump scare nowadays as opposed to kind of get the creepy factor.
They do. Yeah, they definitely
then you've got Witches, haven't you? Witches was absolutely fantastic.
Oh, the Snyder book.
Yeah. I mean, if any of you read that, I mean, that's
very creepy, and it's all atmosphere, isn't it? And like,
is that Jock? Is it?
I can't remember. Yeah, it is. Okay. Yeah. It's amazing. I mean, as one of the sort of modern horror comics that, you know, unfortunately the Vertigo line pretty much disappeared. Image, I suppose, have taken it on a bit, and that is an amazing title. You know, 10 years, 20 years ago, that would have been an Image Vertigo title.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah. I think the same about Outcast. I think, you know, Outcast probably would have been as well. Yeah. Although I find Outcast a little bit slow. You know, I read the first sort of 9 issues and I thought, well, it seems to just be the same.
I do wonder about horror comics as an ongoing. For instance, you brought up Witches and Outcast there, and I know that they're still going now, aren't they? That the stories are still going.
I
haven't read past the first arc. I haven't dropped out because I didn't like it. But I do wonder, a lot of, especially with new horror, it's all about the premise, isn't it? It's the high concept. Here's our setup, and you know, you'll sell out your first 6 issues with that. You'll get your first trade, you know, done. But once you've done that, how do you keep that momentum up with a horror tale? Really,
ongoing.
Yeah, because I think it's with The Walking Dead, it's already got the setup there. It's just an ongoing zombie world, you know, and it's a drama. That's basically
the thing with these things. I think the ones nothing is purely horror, is it? A lot of good stuff is soap opera and horror, or comedy and horror, or adventure and horror is very common. You know, and that's what The Walking Dead is. The Walking Dead is essentially a soap opera with an adventure story with zombies tagged on, isn't it? It's like a survivalist fiction rather than a horror thing.
But do you think that a lot of new horror concepts can fall based on the strength of their concept? I know that's a strange thing to say, but you know, when you immediately hit someone with the first 6 issues and they're amazing. Do you think usually? I mean, like you're saying, Outcast. You're saying it's quite slow as it goes on. Do you think the first issue immediately gets you in, doesn't it? Immediately sets you up.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and it does well to that because he knows how to do it. Do you know what I mean?
But because it's a slower pace, do you think that's working against it in some way?
It's interesting, isn't it? I don't know what I'm just trying to think. What the longest run of a horror comic is that I've read?
I mean, it's probably Hellboy for me. Hellboy's probably the one I would say you go with and beat PRD, you know.
Yeah.
But otherwise, I can't think of myself.
Yeah. I mean, Hellboy, also, like Tony said, that skirts on the sort of action-adventure horror, doesn't it, really?
Definitely.
And fantasy and folklore, doesn't it? Yeah.
I mean, if you're talking a pure horror concept, does that work on its own for an ongoing?
Tomb of Dracula, maybe. Tomb of Dracula ran, 70 issues?
Hellboy is very much episodic, isn't it? You have this bit, and then even though they're set in the same kind of universe, the stories are very much like there's this bit about this, like miniseries, isn't it? Is that correct?
I think that's
the vampire model.
There's a vampire one as well. What's the vampire one?
Is it Baltimore?
Yeah. That's it, yeah.
I really want to read that one. I've heard a lot of good things about Baltimore.
That is brilliant. I think it's sort of coming to an end now, or it's come to an end. I'm not too sure, but that was really good. That was a fantastic tale. But it's sort of come to a... to a de- you know, it's the, they've got to a point now where they've got to end it, I suppose. But
okay,
yeah, that was really good. Yeah,
yeah, and I must catch up on that. I'm, so, I'm almost up to date with BPRD, which I really love. I really like that. And that's kind of the X-Men in a horror universe, isn't it? Really,
yeah.
Sort of monsters and horror and stuff like that. But I really like that for what it is.
How did the Outcast comic book live up to the TV series? I don't know if you watched that at all, because that was very slow as well. So I'm just wondering.
It's quite similar. Yeah, there are a lot of similarities. I didn't read the comic for long enough to compare it, I think, but certainly the first few issues that I read can be compared quite very favourably, sort of in a similar way to what the TV series. Anyone else read it or?
Yeah, I did. Yeah. It was, and it was, like I say, it was a bit slow. They were sort of trying to build an atmosphere thing, and it very close to the TV series. But honestly, I wasn't a massive fan, to be honest with you. I'll be honest. Yeah, it was.
Oh, yeah. All right.
Yeah, it was good. It was good, but I got, like I said, I couldn't be, you know, like when you miss an issue and you think, oh, I must go back. I never bothered, because I was like,
yeah, that's quite telling, really.
Yeah.
I'll buy the trade, and then you never buy the trade. And
strange for when, like with Kirkman on Invincible, that's like every fucking other page he's introducing a new idea and concept, and it's very fast moving. But then you move it back to Walking Dead. But to be fair, Walking Dead, the comic book, the stuff I've read, it's a lot faster moving than the TV series, unless it's slowed down dramatically. But Outcast always seemed to be a bit really dialed back, and it was very slow.
Yeah. Here's one that's... Go on, mate, sorry. No, go on.
No, it just seemed like it wasn't like it was giving it time to build. It just didn't seem like there was a lot going on within...
Yeah, that's exactly how I felt. I read an issue, and I thought this happened last issue. It just seems to be similar. Yeah, it was a bit like that, I think.
I found it a bit too sort of vaguely Hellblazer, and it had been done before.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Okay.
You know, so, I mean, in a way.
How did I forget about that? That's probably the longest running horror book I've read. How'd you forget that? And I think that stayed fresh. I haven't read the very new series, although my son reads it and really enjoys it.
Yeah, it's good. Is
it? Yeah. And I think that's a great series. That's a series you can still dip into a trade and read. You know, top creators and, you know, top ideas. Ooh,
yeah,
and everything.
Yeah, brilliant.
For a horror tale, then, do you think in comics you need a character rather than a basic setup? You know, you need a title character. Like a lot of the ones we did a poll about it. Well, we asked a question and we got a few characters brought up, but a lot of...
Yeah, I know what you mean. So the long-running things are like Swamp Thing, Dracula, Werewolf.
Yeah.
You know, the one I was about to bring up is Spawn, which is probably the longest running.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. I know it's a superhero crossed with a horror story, but there's so many horror elements to it, you know.
And also, I think at its height, when it was like, it was topping the charts all the time, that was really dark, like the Capullo times. Yeah. That was proper horror.
Fuck me, at the bloody, well, before Capullo came on as McFarlane, you had a child molester in the ice cream van guy. That's pretty heavy. Because like, it's weird, all the other Image titles were just massive men punching each other, which is great, fair enough. Spawn had like child molestation in it. I was like, fuck me, there's a real contrast going on here.
Yeah.
Do you remember Faust?
Yes. Oh God. Yeah. Remember didn't the first comic get pulled off the shelves at one point?
It got what?
pulled off. Yeah. And for a book that has got an awful lot of knobs in it, you can quite happily say that. Yeah.
There was my flatmate years ago, I bought a Faust comic because there was a new series running, and there's a bit where kind of like this brain in a jar's zapping this woman, and it says, "You exquisite bitch," and he said that to me several times over the years I knew him.
That's great line. Yeah. Exquisite bitch. That's got to be the tagline this week.
Bitch.
I'm writing that down. That's what I'm going to call you, Vince, for the rest of the show.
Exquisite bitch.
Yeah. I'm writing it down now.
I got a nickname in the end. That's all that matters.
How about this then? Bearing in mind, we've just seen the Scream Misty special come out. Has anyone read it yet?
No.
No, I haven't got it yet. I'm trying. Yeah.
I think it's about to go into Tesco's. I think they've done a deal with Tesco's Express this week, haven't they?
Oh, brilliant. Oh,
really?
Right.
Okay.
That's good news for comics, I think. Yeah. To a certain extent. Yeah. What about British comics? British comics did horror in a much different way, didn't they? You know. was it the 13th? You're a Scream fan, aren't you, Vince?
Yeah.
So you had stuff like the 13th Floor, was it?
And, yeah, Dracula Files and all of that.
Yeah.
It very much followed that format of your 2000 ADs, your battles, you know, action and all of that. It was very much six pages and you're out kind of tales, wasn't it?
Was it Monster, which was the... Was that the Alan...
That was,
yes. You brought that. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So many good
titles. Uncle Terry.
Yeah, I think I think you can find loads of, I've forgotten the name of the website now, but someone's like got all of like the Scream issues scanned, and you can look at
really?
It online. Yeah.
Oh yeah. Guy did it all. Yeah, I've forgotten. Yeah. You've got every single thing, haven't you? It's brilliant. Yeah.
It's well worth checking out. It's a very simple looking site, but you know, there's a lot of work that's gone into getting all those issues, and even like that, the sort of holiday specials, you know, the ultra rare ones, which. You know, I remember as a kid picking up Day at the Seaside, popped into the newsagent, picked up an issue of Scream. Lovely. Showing me age.
So how many issues was it in the end? I can't remember, was it?
Oh, there was only... Oh, I can't remember now. There is a book.
Yeah.
There was, and it was recommended, someone put like a History of Scream magazine.
Oh, they did, didn't they? Yeah.
The name escapes me now. I have to put all these in the show notes. Because I've got that publication and it's fantastic. Just tells the history of from the beginning of the publishing to when it died out. I think they only had like 6-8 issues.
Yeah.
It wasn't.
Did it melt? Did it go with Tornado? Was it straight into 2000 AD? I can't remember because they all sort of went into one, didn't they? In the end.
Yeah. I think it was 2000. I want.
Was it? Yeah.
Okay. The because I've read the new one, the Misty Scream special, and I got to tell you, it just didn't feel like the old days, you know.
Okay.
The Dracula one, which was Gronje wrote, which is really nice to see. Gronje McContry,
yeah.
She wrote it. It was really good. It was like Dracula at a dinner party, and it was just clever, and in keeping with the Tristan Jones drew it, in keeping with the sort of mood of the old British weeklies. But the rest, I don't know. They just it seemed to like, oh, look at me being clever, giving this a twist. I don't know.
Why does everyone want to put a twist on things?
I know.
Can't they just do it well?
Yeah, I kind of get that with a kind of just a strong concept told well.
I'll tell you what it is. I see fucking dead people. That's what it is.
Yeah.
Ever since that.
Yeah, you're right.
Every time. Yeah.
Yeah.
You sound quite
everyone
bitter about it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't, there's this thing with horror, I think, at the moment, certainly I see. I don't know how prevalent it is with the comic stuff, but this sort of dichotomy with like horror for horror's sake, which is now leaning more towards just extreme for extreme's sake, and then the other side, which is now going towards that sort of metaphor allegorical sake, that kind of more Babadooky It Follows stuff.
Okay.
You know, or it's kind of more the extreme, oh, he's cut her head off and he's fucking it.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, and those things, I don't know, whenever you read a book or, you know, you see a film and like, for instance, The Babadook's a great example, because that they give that whole, oh, is it really in her mind, you know, does the monster not really exist? And I'm like, oh, fuck off, I just want the monster to exist. Why can't it just be a thing? Why does it all have to be someone's psychological problem? Am I a simple man? Maybe.
No, I can understand that. Yeah, I do like... I can say I like both of those. The kind of...
I like both,
I didn't
Dan,
mind the Babadook.
Don't
but yeah,
me, Dan.
I can understand when it's like, yeah, you just want a straight-up monster.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
I think that's also... but then again, that's also born of things like The Shining, isn't it, really? The Descent.
We're seeing that in comics as well. We're seeing that sort of theme. So it's, I'm thinking mostly of like Image comics. You're seeing... almost a bit of a sort of themed, clever idea extrapolated in a horror comic.
Mm.
I'm thinking about stuff like, is it Nailbiter? Comics a bit like that, where they've got like a good idea and, you know, it's almost like a... It's not trying to create a series of movies into a series of comics, but, you know, they've got a clever thing and they're running with it, you know?
Mm. But then, yeah, I think that goes back to... Once you've got past the first six issues, it's very difficult to keep that.
Yeah, no, I agree.
High concept
completely.
Going, isn't it? Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, historically, the horror titles that have run have been the anthologies, haven't they? You know, House of Secrets, House of Mystery, Eerie, Creepy, you know, these sort of books.
And that's certainly very true for the independent comics as well. We always say that anthologies are rife everywhere, and a lot of them are probably horror anthologies. You've got guys like Madius, Hellbound Media. I mean, there's certain elements of horror in the awesome anthology coming up.
Yeah, there is. Yeah.
Twisted Dark, there was that one as well, wasn't there?
Yeah.
You know, and they hit payday with that one, didn't they? Because it's done really, really well for them. So, I think anthologies have always been the way, haven't they? I mean, if you think of, like, some of the best, like, certainly British-wise horror movies, like the Amicus movies were, you know, ones with Peter Cushing in, Tales from Beyond the Grave and all that kind of stuff. That's the way that it's always been in a way, isn't it? I think, was it Skywall were the massive publishers of all the, like, horror the anthologies in America, weren't they? Yeah, they were massive at the time, you know, and because they came under this kind of magazine thing, I think, like I say, they missed this comics code as well. And obviously on Europe, they're all big anyway, you know, on the continent. And I think that's how they keep going, is it? Short tales.
I think you're right.
That works in both comics and prose. I want to call him unlucky every time. Because obviously you've put out like a horror anthology as well. I mean, what is it about, what is it that draws people to short horror stories rather than taking a punt on just doing a long form story? You know, because a long novel could be the same as six issues in the comic, isn't it, really? You're telling one big story, obviously a different format.
Exactly. I mean, I think personally, you know, as a reader, I find horror a lot more easy to digest in sort of shorter stories. And I find they work better as well. Yeah. Because you don't, you know, obviously you can build up that tension, that scare. You can do whatever it is you want to do with it. But then you get that payoff at the end, but it doesn't drag out. And unfortunately, sometimes, certainly with long-form novels, or I'm sure with comics as well, you know, sort of if you drag it out, it waters it down. The payoff isn't quite as effective.
Yeah, I agree completely. Yeah. And, I think people are clever now, aren't they? I think they're looking for that payoff in a horror story. And if you drag it out too long, they're going to second-guess it, or they're going to not be satisfied, or, you know. And I think when you've got a punch short story, I think it works better, almost.
Mm. Exactly, and it doesn't outstay its welcome. That's the other thing as well, which is I'm a huge fan of things like one-shot comics, you know, and short stories, because you read it, it's like a little quick fix, you know, and whether it was good or great or not, it doesn't really matter too much, but you get something out of it. When you start dragging it over, you know, issues and issues, then, again, it dilutes itself. The concept sort of waters it down. And if it's not strong enough to hold itself up, then it kind of loses the point.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah.
We're really dissecting the genre.
Well, it's always kind of like, in those kind of stories, it's like a joke, as in you've got the setup and the punchline, and the longer you tell with the fucking setup, it can be a kind of like, oh, fuck this.
And the much more interesting and entertaining you've got to be in the middle section, almost. Yeah. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. You've really got to ramp that up to draw people in.
Do you think, I think with 90% of horror short stories, in whatever format we're talking, movies, games, films, whatever, they all usually hinge around that punchline, all that, and they go for that crazy Tales from the Crypt like twist. There's always got to be the twist. Do you think that people too easily fall back on that they have to have some sort of crazy twist at the end? Do you know what I mean? Rather than finding,
I think they either do that or they have to add in another element. So I still think that we're living in a little bit of a post-Buffy era, where the reason Buffy worked is because it had that horror element, and often with a twist at the end. But they managed to string it out, or not string it out, because it's quite a good series, wasn't it? I suppose what it was. They managed to make it work because they had this sort of soap opera, drama, melodrama thing going on amongst it. So I think people do rely on that twist. I think in a lot of fiction, they rely on a twist, not necessarily just horror, you know, but more especially horror. Mm. I think they're adding that extra bit, like Ghost Rider, for example, is a horror comic, but it's also a superhero comic. So that's the reason it's managed to stay the course as long as it has, you know, that's what I think that you have to have a little bit of something else in there.
Yeah.
I definitely think that twist can be a bit of a crutch. That people will kind of tell a kind of relatively substandard story and go, oh, what if X happened at the end? And suddenly that makes it kind of, that's your get out clause for being, for me personally, the kind of the horror stories that work best are ones that kind of tap into kind of root fears and concerns that as the zeitgeist has, if you want, you know, like bring up Stephen King's It, for example, the kind of clown thing has always kind of been that thing, and he's kind of tapped into it, maybe amplified it a bit.
I think he's brought it on, hasn't he, a bit?
But like there was a kind of slew of not slew, but there was certainly serial killers. There was it John Wayne Gacy? Is one of them that used to do part time as a clown, and he kind of like tapped into that, like the way kind of Pat Mills does with seeing what's kind of current at the moment, and then using that to tell the stories. Like the horror writers that kind of tap into something of the now, and then adding that into their stories.
He does that with Defoe, doesn't he? Which is essentially a zombie story, but he manages to twist it with that historical setting and that sort of pre-steampunk imagery and stuff like that. Yeah, definitely.
Well, like just with Finn, he was bringing in stuff he had seen in a witch coven, and
that's right, yeah,
the practices, yeah. And it gives that kind of level of authenticity to the story. Yeah, definitely, they kind of like it follows kind of being kind of stalked and stuff like that. Just bringing that concept on, I think that really works.
Yeah,
yeah.
Here's a question for everyone: what's your favorite type of horror story? It could be anything, whether it's like, you know, a haunted house tale or something really gory, or like a hostel type story. You know, what's your particular flavour that you like best?
Interesting.
Who wants to go first?
Yeah, guests. Let's have the guests go first.
Unlucky Dan.
Yeah.
Hello.
What's your
name? Doesn't seem just. Yeah. I'll use it.
You exquisite bitch. How's that?
Kick me and tell me how bad I am.
Oh, you said lick and not kick. Yeah.
Well, you know, it can be whatever you want it to be.
All right, this is this is turning into a different kind of phone call. No.
You said there'd be like-minded gentlemen, Vince.
There's no gentleman.
We lied about the second bit there.
No, I think, I mean, obviously, you know, I'm a huge fan of Lovecraft. You know, big fan of that sort of mythos and so on. But, I mean, for me, I mean, and Vince will probably agree with this as well, like one of the great books that still always features today is Vampires by John Stakely.
Oh, God, yeah.
And it's actually the film that's, that was the book that John Carpenter adapted to his film, okay. Vampires, which I'm a huge John Carpenter fan as well. The film is dog shit, let's be honest.
It's great. You can't fault Woods. You can't fault the Woods. I love it. And
maybe as a person.
He's woefully miscast.
Not as a fucking person. Read his Twitter feed. Jesus Christ. Oh, my God.
He's definitely playing a character that should have been about 20 years younger.
Yeah.
But that book, still today, like, I always think, like, you get these creatures, like a vampire, like a mummy, perhaps, or even a zombie. A lot of these creatures, sometimes I consider a bit boring, despite loving the horror genre. You know, I find this sort of, you know, they're repeating the tropes and so on. I mean, I'm probably going to get assassinated for this, but I think Walking Dead is quite dull.
I'd go with that. I'd agree there.
Yeah.
You know, you kind of think, how could you present these creatures, these things, these ideas, these concepts in a new way or a fresher way? And I thought, for me, Vampires, with a dollar sign is the S, that's the important thing, really nailed it in terms of presenting, you know, a familiar idea, a familiar creature, but doing it in a new way that was exciting. And it for me, I love monsters.
Yeah, it's very much, almost like a sort of a holiday novel. Not really many people know about the actual book itself. And it, when you read it, it plays, it's more like sort of like Predator, isn't it? Because you've got a team of, you know, it really plays on the human characters rather than like the monsters. And it's just, I don't know, it's just awesome. I actually, back in the day, I practiced laying out pages, like comic pages, based on the beginning of that book. When I wanted to try and, I always thought, oh, I'd love to adapt that as a comic, you know.
Yeah,
that would be one of my dreams. I think one day in the future. That's a good shout, Dan. I forgot about that book. Right, who's next?
Three cans.
Might be four now.
Four now.
You see, when it comes to like certainly horror tales, I'm like, there's two sides for me. There's the there's the Guy N. Smith side, which is just god awful. If you've ever heard of them,
Guy and Smith's great.
Yeah, yeah, thank you. Oh, good. I thought it was just me. Yeah, there's nothing better
crabs.
Than
crabs.
The crabs.
Oh, yeah. God, yeah, I do love that stuff. Yeah, I read that last year. That's a brilliant book.
Fantastic. And any of those, there's a book come out recently called Paperbacks from Hell by the guy who did Horror Store, if you've ever read that. That's set in
I know the book, yeah.
Amazing. And this Paperbacks from Hell goes through the whole history of, you know, like these crummy paperbacks written by trashy authors. They're absolutely fantastic.
Brilliant.
Amazing. Yeah. But then the other side of the coin, I love those, but like I love M.R. James. I know he's a bit of a go-to for everybody, but the M.R. James tales for me are absolutely fantastic. But there is another book by a guy called L.T.C. Rolt. He only ever wrote one book of ghost stories called Sleep No More. And there's like seven tales, but they're all set within industry. So one's on a racetrack, and they build a racetrack through a stone circle and knock it down. It all goes horribly wrong. One's set in a factory, one's set in a on a canal, one's set on a train station, and then one of them's set in a mine. And basically, it's the descent. They've taken made it into the film. It's amazing. If you can ever find it, it's one of the best horror ghost stories collections you'll ever read. Honestly, it's amazing.
Oh, excellent.
Yeah, that sounds awesome.
Yeah. I've only got to hear about those books, and I go out and try and fucking buy more. I'm like a freak for those books. I mean, any sort of trashy novels, like we talked about, like The Destroyer and all this sort of thing. Yeah. Somebody says, "Oh, you remember the crabs?" And I go out and get Blood Knight of the Crabs or something and read that. You know, it's like,
well, it's Sean Hudson as well. Do you remember Sean Hudson, the Slugs?
Yes.
Yeah. Which, if you've ever seen the film, oh my god! But anyway,
yeah, he was like a sort of cut price James Herbert, and that's saying something.
Fuck me, yeah. It's like being in Lidl and saying there isn't anywhere cheaper.
Wow.
And I mean, he churned him out, didn't he, Sean Hudson? Like Guy and Smith, they were churning him out. Do you know you can go to a Guy and Smith convention? It's at his house.
Oh, can you?
I know. I know people that have been there.
Yeah. Oh, really?
Yeah, seriously. Seriously, there's a book that was produced by my friend Justin, who also co-runs Sinister Horror Company, for Guy's birthday that I wrote a story for as well, and it was exclusively given to Guy and Smith at that party.
Oh, man, that's amazing.
And in the seriously, end, it's weird.
And in the end, everyone got crabs. Come on, anyone? No one? Well, it's just me then.
No one.
It's good to have you on.
Quite fun to, when they have like a monster or stuff, and then you have to work out how it works within the kind of the confines of the story. Those kind of tales always are quite like them.
In what? You know, how do you mean? In what sort of sense?
You know, like, oh, I got a monster. Right? It doesn't like light, or it doesn't like sound, or you know, the group ends up getting fucked over for 9/10 of the film, and then they find out how to kind of get away from it or deal with it.
The sort of creature feature, that kind of.
They're quite nice. Yeah. As we said, I'm very tired of those stories that someone picks up some kind of artifact that's haunted or something, and then they get fucked over. They 2/3 of the way through, they go and see a specialist or an expert, and then it's resolved fine at the end.
Someone in the family is possessed. Yawn.
Yeah. Never read any of my books.
But they always end either two ways. Ever like, oh, well, they think it's all fine, but actually it's not, or it's just all fine. I can remember seeing it. There was a film I saw last year about some oh, it's a really good one. So it's not going to be one of these by the numbers thing. No, it's fine. And it was so by the numbers. It was so generic. I was like, fuck's sake, how can you recommend this?
It was like the whole, he's going to be floating above the bed in a minute. And I know what you mean.
It was worth it just for that noise that Tony made.
Can I go?
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah.
My favourite. Now, I don't like this in movies, because to me, movies are different. But I like the sort of where you've got the horror host. I like those comics. So you I mean, the comics have been full of them. So you had Cain and Abel were in House of Mystery and House of Secrets. Mm-hmm. You had Madame Xanadu in Doorway into Nightmare. You had Uncle Creepy and Uncle Eerie, obviously. You had Dr. Leopold Maas, who's in Spirit World, the Kirby book. Yeah. And I like the way that they... Sometimes they're involved in the story. Sometimes there might be a little bit of a story about them. You know, something horrible they did or happens to them. Or sometimes they're just saying, oh, by the way, here's a story about a man who killed his missus and then she came back, you know, up the drain again and all this sort of thing. You know, and I like that. I like that because they tend to be shorter sort of punchier. It's like having, okay, I got a copy of House of Mystery, one of the showcases for my mate a couple of Christmases ago. And he said he likes it because it's like having Alfred Hitchcock Presents or The Twilight Zone or The Outer Limits in a paperback that you can read on the train. You know, because you'd often get sort of three or four stories in an issue and they're so full of ideas. And I know they're the whole, what do they call it? Is it Oh Mary or is they call them stories, don't they? Where at the end they go, oh God, really? You know, but I like, a lot of the artists in some of these books are incredible.
Oh God,
you know?
Yeah.
Do you remember Weird War?
Yes, and Weird Western Tales.
Weird
as well,
Western, brilliant. Yeah, I mean, that's where Jonah Hex came first, I think.
Exactly.
Wasn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, Weird War was amazing. Some of the tales in that were absolutely fantastic.
Yeah, that's what they did. Is it the Creature Commandos or whatever they're called?
Brilliant. Yeah.
Some fucking mental stuff, but really, really nice art as well, you know. Yeah. You've got all the big names on it, you know. You've got everyone who drew, you know, Kirby, Don Heck, Gil Kane, all these sort of people who drew like big Marvel and DC books, as well as the Esteban Morotos and, you know, Ernie Chans and all these sort of guys as well.
What's he called? Sergeant Rock. What's he called? No, I've forgotten his name.
Joe Kubert.
Yeah, so he like did loads of the covers for Weird War, didn't he? And amazing, you know.
Yeah. And then you'd often also have Sergio Aragonés doing like a one pager as well.
Yeah, like a one-page joke.
Oh, nice one.
Yeah, incredible. Yeah.
Did you see him at the Lakes, by the way, Sergio? Dan?
Briefly, yes. Yeah. Right. I think he was probably the busiest.
Was he?
Yeah. Right. Yeah. But no, he went to it went down really well. I mean, he's a fascinating bloke, you know. Yeah. Amazing, really good, yeah.
Oh, cool. I'd quite like to meet him. What about you, Vince? Have you yet to go? I can't remember what you said. Have you said one yet?
I can't remember what I said. Did I say one? I don't know. I was just enjoying all of your answers so much that I completely forgot what I was going to talk about. I mean, for me, it's my favourite type of horror stories are probably, I don't know, growing up on things like Predator and Aliens and like and my favourite film's The Thing. It's always those, you know, group of people that are up against it about, you know, that are being picked off one by one. Not like a slasher sort of film, but definitely that sort of, like Dan, like a creature, well, like Guns, like a creature feature type thing. I've always got a soft spot for like a monster movie. Which has led me to watch some absolute shit in the past.
I agree.
Even if it looks really good, you know, or sometimes
horror fans got more of a kind of constitution for that kind of stuff that they sort of were willing to try and dig through ways
like
of shit to try and find it
as well. Yeah, I think we're quite prepared to watch a movie for that one good bit, aren't we?
Yeah. I mean, it's, I think when you like horror, you know that really good horror is very few and far between. There's so much of it out there, but finding the gems, and everything's subjective as well. I mean, I know there's films that I like that some people might think is rubbish, you know.
Yeah. But, I mean, it's like you say, I'm a bit tired of slasher movies, but I think Halloween's a fucking genius movie.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? And I think there's genres within genres, aren't there? And I think some are like really well done, and some are like, oh, here we go again. Yeah.
I could look beyond the budgetary constraints of The Void and like enjoy that.
Oh, I love that.
Was that this year?
I love The Void.
Yeah, I really enjoyed that. You haven't got a massive budget, but like I can look beyond that and see what you're trying to do, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah.
One I saw recently, which was great, I've never seen it, is From Beyond. Have you seen
great.
Yeah, that's fucking crazy.
Yeah. Jeffrey
Stewart
Coons.
Stuart Gordon. Yeah, brilliant.
Stuart Gordon, yeah.
This guy Ken Foree in it, like knocking around in a pair of Speedos.
Yeah.
That's right. I didn't expect to see this.
Yeah.
Did anyone ever read the Reanimator comic?
I've seen a couple of issues for it. Wasn't it done with like some weird independent publisher?
Yeah, it was. And they did a what's the one where all the bodies mash together? It's Society. They did a Society comic as well, didn't they?
See, I don't think... For me, those things, sort of tie-in books, do nothing for me. I like it in its purest.
So you're saying that, but you haven't read the sequel to The Thing, have you?
No.
Tell you what, mate. Yeah. I like that. It's good.
It's brilliant,
I've heard mixed things. So
have you?
I'm kind of scared about it. I want to, because I think that could... You know, that could... I'd love that concept, and I, you know.
But did you watch the sequel movie?
The prequel movie.
Or prequel, Tom. Sorry.
Oh, yeah. God.
Because the prequel movie actually isn't that bad.
Yeah, it's just what it's... it doesn't compare, does it, in any way, shape, or form?
No.
No.
Predator.
If you look at some of the effects as well, some of the extras, when they're doing the practical effects and stuff like that,
yeah.
It was like, this could have been so much better. This could have been something, but it wasn't.
There was like a studio kind of got cold feet about it and wanted loads of CGI in it as opposed to the practical stuff.
Yeah.
Bizarre. Bizarre. Yeah.
But you've read the Aliens comics, surely. You got to love them.
I've read a few. Yeah. Well, but some of them I like, some of them I don't. I think it's like...
Dead Orbit's good. Dead Orbit by James Stokoe, if anyone's read that.
Yeah. What's the one they did a painted one where like Ripley, Newt and Hicks, they've all grown up a bit. And
is that the
like
one
pretty...
by... Who's the guy did the Max? Is it by him?
Yeah, because I always remember there's a guy with some sort of... he's wearing a white sort of military uniform and he's got like a baseball cap on, and he's fighting like loads of aliens, and then one of them takes him out.
By Sam Keith?
Was it Sam Keith? It is Sam Keith, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. I think you're right. Yeah, I think so. Yeah. And the Predator versus Alien, the first couple of versions of that, they're good.
The first book of that is one of my favourite books on my bookshelf. And then it just gets a bit too, I don't know, just not for me. But I will recommend the first one every goddamn day.
Yeah, I really like that book. That's one they're on like a farm world or something, aren't they? Is it like that? Yeah.
And also it's the artwork by Chris Warner, who I tweeted. I tweeted some of his artwork a couple of weeks ago in one of those, God, I love this bloke, was so good. And like, you just don't see him anymore. I think he works in concept art and a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
But anyway, should we have a poll?
Yes.
What was the poll we said this week? I think this was I knew what the answer was going to be. I knew what the winner was going to be as soon as I did.
Yeah.
But you
anxiety comics.
Because. Right. Okay. Because it's Halloween. Shut up, Tony. As it's Halloween, you've got your classic Halloween sort of characters, haven't you? So we put out a poll. Which of these classic monster types do you think has been overused in comics?
Yeah.
And the four choices, vampires, werewolves, witches, and zombies. Which one do you think came out on top?
Yeah, we all know, don't we?
Zombies.
Yeah. Zombies.
If you couldn't spit it out here in a zombie comic a few years ago, could you?
Yeah. And I think that's just been the same across the board, isn't it? Because certainly in the prose world, there's a lot of zombie stuff about in the Dan?
Movies world. I saw one the other day. There's a movie called Zombies versus MILFs.
What was that? I'll check that out. MILFs versus stiffs or something.
Yeah. Oh my God, it's still stiff. Look.
Yeah.
It writes itself.
These MILFs can handle these stiffs.
I think I've seen that one.
Two MILFs, one zombie in a cup.
Hang on, I'm writing that down.
So what's the second on the poll? I presume zombies came in like 80-90%.
Zombies was number one with 80%.
Yeah, there we go.
Why do you think that's just an easy go-to? And also, why are zombies the thing that have crossed the border of mainstream? A lot of horror characters, you know, ghosts, vampires, etc., they're still within that little subgenre, aren't they? But
I agree completely. My theory is you don't need to write a zombie. You need to write a vampire, and you need to write a witch, and you need to write a werewolf, and they have to be a person with a personality and a motivation.
Yeah.
With a zombie, you just write a creeping person, and the story goes on elsewhere. So you can tell any story you want, but it's just got these people in the background trying to pull your eyeballs out. You know?
I think the Romero zombies carry so much. Like, you say zombies, most people think of the Romero ones.
Yeah.
And as soon as you're telling the story like that, where Tony said there's like a shorthand, instantly you've already set up your antagonists, and away you go.
Do you remember Zombie World?
I do.
Yeah, that one. Yeah, which is like
Pat Mills wrote one of them.
Yeah, and it was like before The Walking Dead as well, really.
Yeah.
And that was an absolutely fantastic series.
It looked like a Mignola verse,
yeah.
didn't it? The cover.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. Yeah, it's like a Egyptian. It comes. The sort of all the comics came out, and then like one of the last ones was the fact that it came from some kind of Egyptian curse thing, if you will.
Yeah.
A bit like
right.
Mummy, I suppose. But and the, this like gas sets everybody off, and they all start coming back from the dead. Because in the original ones, it never really says. I mean, there's a brilliant one, and I've forgotten the guy's name now, but I think he might have done an American Vampire. I'm going to have a look now. But
what's the one set in a museum? It starts in a museum, one of them, I remember.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's Zombie World.
Yeah.
In a second, let me just see. Because there's a brilliant one that the artwork is amazing, but it's like set in New York, but you don't really know what's going on. And it's absolutely fantastic. There's hardly any zombies in it for the first, a bit like, I suppose, what The Walking Dead's like now. But I can't think of the guy's name. I think he did a run on The Punisher, the artist. Scratchy black and white stuff. But it was absolutely fantastic. But it's sort of almost been forgotten. Because it was certainly a precursor. Was it Winters? I think Winter's Dregs was one of them. If you've ever,
it was Dark Horse, wasn't it?
Yeah, Dark Horse.
Champion of the Worms, was it?
Yeah,
that was Tommy Lee Edwards. That's the artist.
Yeah.
And Pat Mills did. He wrote one because it was like Winter's Dregs was the Tommy Lee Edwards one, and there's a zombie tale going on, but you don't really see what's going on. It builds up the tension massively because basically everything starts breaking down. You don't really know what's going on, but might have been 2005 or something like that when it came out. I can't remember. But that is brilliant. If you've never read it, I can't recommend it enough.
No, it's really good. In fact, I got given it as a present in New York by a pal of mine, and then I was reading it at the airport, and Christian Wildgoose went, "Oh, what's that you're reading? That's really good." And I gave it to him as a present. So I've only reread the first issue, but he's got it to read because he'd had a little bit. The one I can't remember the name of it now. The sort of bit of a European style. It wasn't Tom Lee on that one. It was someone else, but it looked really good. Yeah,
because Bob Fingerman wrote one of the stories in it as well. You know, did you know that? I don't know if you did.
Oh, did he? Oh, okay.
Yeah,
no, I didn't know.
Yeah.
It was Bob who gave it to me.
All right. Well, there you go.
And you just gave it away.
Yeah. It's not another piece of zombie shit. So anyway, thank you, mate.
Very kind of him.
Yeah. So I can't think which tale he did, but it was like they only did a small collection of him. But yeah, and I mean, for Bob Fingerman to write, you can see the kind of atmosphere he was going for. So. Mm.
I'll tell you what's when you said Tommy Lee Edwards there, that reminded me of something was Chuck Dixon and him did. Has anyone read Winter World?
No.
Anyone read that, where the world is just snow and ice? And it's imagine The Walking Dead without the zombies, but everyone's trying to survive in this sort of snow.
Yeah,
world.
I think I'm at.
That's some cracking. That's some cracking horror writing. That is.
Yeah, brilliant. Yeah.
Just trying to survive. He's got a badger as a pet.
Amazing. I need to read this. Just for that.
This just sounds like Vince.
We've all got badges in the country. We know that.
Oh, damn you.
We eat them in the north. After wrestling them.
Yeah. Oh, I could just imagine you in the dark wrestling a badger. No, oh, hang on. What?
Hey.
Steady now. Right, so on the poll, the second choice was vampires with 16%.
Okay.
I think that those top two were fairly obvious. Werewolves and witches were 2%. I thought werewolves might have been slightly more because you're seeing quite a few more werewolf books these days.
Yeah. Okay, here's a question for you. What do you think is the most popular horror comic that's come out in the last 15, 20 years?
I'd probably say Hellblazer, isn't it, really?
Now, what do you mean by popularity? Well, because
biggest selling.
It's got to be
Walking Dead, surely.
Well, yeah, it's got to be Walking Dead.
I would say probably The Walking Dead, or maybe back in the day before The Walking Dead existed, Marvel Zombies. Do you remember that book?
Yeah, that was big.
But
Of course,
Marvel Zombies came about after The Walking Dead.
The first series, I thought, was before it.
I thought he was doing The Walking Dead, and then he got hired by Marvel to do Marvel Zombies, didn't he?
Was it Fantastic Four that he first appeared in?
Wasn't it Ultimate Fantastic Four, I think?
Yeah, that's where he first appeared in, which was before The Walking Dead, wasn't it?
Right, okay.
Yeah. It was first, I've got the trade. It says first printed in 2006. I'm not sure when Walking Dead first came out. But, yeah, sure. I don't know. Fuck knows.
Yeah. And I'll point to the other one that's a big seller is Dylan Dog.
Because it
sells gangbusters in Italy and, you know. And that's a really good book to read. It's hard to find translated. I know Dark Horse brought out like a big phone directory size book of it, but it's quite hard to find now. And that's got some gorgeous stuff in it.
I presume there's a lot of European horror comics that certainly I'm not aware of that they're out there. I mean, we're just kind of getting our heads around some of the European titles available.
Some of it you don't want to, believe you me. Some of it.
Yeah, I can imagine they're a bit more extreme.
As I said before,
for those curious. Oh, sorry.
go on, Dan, you're right.
I was just going to say, The Walking Dead debuted in 2003.
Hey.
Oh, really? Oh, well, there you go. Yeah.
Jesus Christ, has it been that long?
Fucking hell.
Fucking hell.
Anyone still aboard it? Anyone still reading it? Or
I will. Every so often, I might dip my head in to read an issue. Just to see who's still alive. And it is just sort of more of the same, really, I think. I used to be the longest running book I was getting because leading up to 100, the quality was just so high. I thought, and so regular, it just was what it was. But I don't know, because I've fallen out of it for a long time. I don't recognise half the people.
Right. Yeah, I read up to about 75. Sorry, mate.
I just say from an outsider, The Walking Dead to me just seems like EastEnders, but then there's zombies.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I think like the first 10-20 issues were really good. After that, I must admit I lost interest. It was good because of what it sort of started a bit of a genre. Oh, brilliant, a horror comic that's doing really well, and it's in black and white as well. I really like that idea, but then after a while it kind of sort of it seemed to me just to be a bit of a repeat of itself. And like in the TV series, and I'll be honest with you, I kind of just turned off after a while, because basically when you come to zombie movies, all anybody wants is people being eaten or zombies being killed, and nobody wants to know what they're talking about in the middle.
To be honest,
with that TV series, I'm quite happy if they ended it in this series. They killed Negan, and it's like, oh, we're going to set up our own, let's see how we go on from here, and then this kind of camera pans away.
It's been running a while now. What's it? Is it the eighth season it's on now? Is that right? Gone
just past last week's was episode 100.
Yeah, so it's not doing badly, is it? Very few series go longer than that, don't they, you know?
It's frustrating that generally series, like, they carry on until they get, they're not no longer popular or in favour, and then the rug just gets taken out from under them. They don't get the chance to kind of finish off, or they've just got to keep plodding on doing the same shit because they're getting money for it and people like it.
Yeah.
Dexter's fell foul.
Did someone say CSI?
Too many F's. Yeah, CSI definitely. Fucking hell. Yeah.
Planet of the Apes movies.
Yeah.
Boy, did they got shit towards the end. We've got 50 quid. What can we do?
Yeah, do that bike out of the tree three times.
We've got two trucks in a field. Let's go.
That was pretty much it on that. What was the last one? It wasn't Battle, was it? Was it?
I think War. It was
Battle. I can't remember. I'm losing track of today, but yeah.
Right. Okay. let's round.
It's funny because I'd say the show's falling apart because we've had the clock change. Because usually we start talking bollocks around 9 o'clock. that was about an hour ago.
All right. Let's end on this one. We said we wanted to know who. What's the best characters? Who are people's favourite horror characters in comics? So we had a few interesting suggestions, some of whom I know and agree with, and others that maybe I probably need to read some more of. So Matt Wieringo, haven't heard from him before. He said, Morbius the Living Vampire.
Yes.
Yeah.
Adventure into Fear, Gil Kane, you name it, drew that. It was a brilliant series, yeah.
He also said Baron Blood. Why
do I know that? Okay, yeah, he's the one from the Invaders, and Captain America is the Nazi who's also a vampire. Yeah,
Our friend the Gibster.
Yeah.
He said Morpheus from Moon Knight was terrifying on the Sienkiewicz run.
Oh, okay, right. Yeah.
Do you know that one? Come on, you're my encyclopedia.
I'm trying to remember who he was now. I do love that run as well. I can't picture who he was.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll have a look. I'll go away and have a look in a minute. Yeah.
Alan Henderson at Shadow 1972. He said, Clarion the Witch Boy and his familiar Teakle.
Yeah, from the demon. Yeah.
I wasn't sure how serious that was. which means I need to read more of the demon.
Yeah. Kirby goodness.
It's
yeah.
been so long. Was that from the Kirby run?
Yeah, that's what he appears. He's been in Seven Soldiers of Victory. He's been in lots of things, yeah.
Yeah. Tom Curry at this Chugglehead, he said, I absolutely love Frankenstein. While it wasn't horror, Frankenstein Agents of Shade is one of my fave series.
That is a great series.
Brilliant.
That is a really good series, yeah. Yeah.
Frankenstein's a sort of funny one to, I think, introduce into like a mainstream sort of Marvel 616 universe or DC universe, isn't it? Really, it always stands out to me. Oh, Frankenstein's there. Even though
he was in the X-Men and everything at one point. It's a Don Heck issue, which is actually quite good.
Is he actually called Frankenstein? Because let's be honest, if you
want to be picky, I think it's Frankenstein's monster. Yeah.
Wasn't there an X-Men versus Dracula as well?
Oh,
remember that one?
Yeah. He take Storm as his missus. Yeah.
Is that what the dialogue was like in the book?
It was Claremont.
Now at Mr. Rictus, which is Christian Wild Goose, he said, easily for me, it's the Marquee from the Marquee by Guy Davis.
Yeah, that's a good series. Yeah, Guy Davis, great artist, and then great horror writer as well.
Or the demon from A Sin of One story, same book again.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. And Lee Grice, he said, he's nice little list here. Swamp Thing.
Yes. That's always.
Baron Winters from DC's Night Force.
Yes, that's a great series. And that's Colin again, isn't it? So yeah.
He did say Zatanna. Is that a horror character? Well, I don't know what happened to my voice then. Is that a horror character?
Maybe in some stories, yeah. She's a magical character, isn't she? But I mean, to be fair, the Sandman has got some horror issues, isn't it?
Yeah, true.
You know, you could say it's a sort of fantasy series, but the first few are definitely in the horror genre, I think.
Yeah. And he finishes with, does Judge Dredd as a werewolf count? Of course it does. And if you're going to say that, then I'm going to say Cap Wolf every goddamn day. Yes. Captain America is a werewolf.
That comment was a horror show. But yes.
I remember many years ago I was lucky enough to meet Steve Dillon at a signing for Preacher in Liverpool.
Yeah.
And I remember we went to the pub afterwards with him and Garth Ennis, and we were talking about it. And my brother brought up the, oh man, you must fucking hate werewolves now after drawing them. And he said, I spent my entire bloody summer drawing them. Red hot. I think he was only like 19 or something at the time, wasn't he, when he was doing it? It was like one of the hottest summers we'd ever had, and he was inside drawing bloody werewolves and stuff. I was outside, there were a lot of women in bikinis, he told us. It was amazing. He said, but I hated it. Can't stand it. And he wouldn't do them ever again. So he drew me a can of Guinness instead.
Oh, right. That was the Cry of the Werewolf, because they just released that again, haven't they? IDW just stuck it out. Yeah,
it's amazing. It's really good. Yeah. Oh, brilliant. Yeah, yeah.
So, all right then. Let's leave it with this. Individually, who are your favourite sort of horror comic characters? Tony, go first.
Man-Thing.
I knew.
Not to do with my giant-sized Man-Thing that we talk about a lot. But I just love that character. He's just this sort of fucking stumbling, horrible, scary beast that people, they tell good stories around, and I like that, especially
so
Gerber.
You feel you can relate to him on a lot of levels.
So. Yeah, things that touch me burn.
After Tony touches you, you're burning for quite some time.
You may as well go and burn everything you own, to be fair.
All right then, Guns.
I'm still going to call back to last year, Guts from Berserk. Such a great character, and kind of having like a normal person dealing with all these kind of horrific monstrosities. It really works. Definitely check that out if you're so inclined. It's a great series.
Yeah, that's a good choice. That was a good. That's a really good book, Dan.
I must go and read that. I know you
definitely check it out. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right then, Five Cans.
It's probably a bit of a go-to, really, but I'd probably say John Constantine, the Hellblazer stuff. I mean, the early stuff is just fantastic. You know, he's such basically a complete twat. It's untrue, you know. Willing to sell anybody down the line to make his own way, and it's just great. And those first, is it John Ridgway? I think he did some of the first ones.
Yeah.
The artwork in that is just incredible and brilliant. I mean, I think it's a shame that, I mean, that, is it Dark Justice or whatever they cut? I can't think what it was called. Mm. I didn't even want to think about it when they did the DC Rebirth. It was a terrible injustice to it, but the new series is good. But those early issues, again, coming from, and certainly the ones with the Swamp Thing, are just amazing and just horrifying.
Incredible.
Everything about it is just brilliant.
And the stuff with the flies and all that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
Horrible. John. Go on, mate, sorry.
No, it's based on. Is it? It was at Sting, wasn't it? He based it on.
Yeah.
Was it the?
I always think that's such a shame.
I forgot. Was it? I can't remember. It was
the movie where Dennis Potter's.
Dennis Potter. That's it. Yeah. I can't think what it was called. But
that is a really weird film because it ends up with him having sex with somebody with mental illness who's a woman.
Yeah,
it's just bizarre.
That's where the character came from, but
sounds like the usual Friday night.
I spoke to John Ridgway about that, and he said he came off it because he didn't approve of the black magic element to it.
Really? Oh, wow.
Yeah. That was when I saw you actually last. No, not last, Dan. When I saw you up at Lancaster, I was chatting to him then. And I said to John, "Oh, you know, I really liked it." And he said, "I didn't really approve of the sort of black magic element to it." And then I said to John, "I said, tell us a story about what you're working on at the moment." And then 45 minutes later, he stopped telling me about what the comic he's working on at the moment. It's a little story for you.
Yeah. Great. Right. Brilliant. Yeah.
And that little bit of dead air there was very similar to my face when he stopped telling me about it.
That interesting.
This
is a guy who drew thousands and millions of flies bursting out of somebody's stomach. How can you know?
Yeah, I mean,
that's okay, but a bit of black magic. Oh no.
A lady in work saying she doesn't celebrate Halloween because one of her relatives was into witchcraft at some point. And I was like, I really want to hear the rest of this, but she can't. She didn't tell us anymore.
I'll tell you what I'd have said to her. I'd have said, "I'm just going to the toilet," and I'd have left
in a hurry.
That's how that's how you finish every conversation, though, Tony.
Yeah,
I know. I get bored easily. Yeah,
too much fibre in your diet. Speaking of fibre, Unlucky Dan, what's your favourite horror character?
Does Jesse Custer count?
Good character.
I'm
yet to watch season two, but I'm a big fan of the comic series. Absolutely loved it and I've reread it, and I'm hoping it's going to do it justice. I've heard it does. Is that true?
The thing is, I'm a huge Preacher fan. I think it's, for me personally, I think it's probably, for me again personally, I have to stress, the best comic / graphic novel series I've ever read. But you know, the series takes wild deviations with it all. And it,
I'm cool with that. I understand that they do that, you know. Yeah.
But yeah, but it works. I love it. I absolutely love it.
Cool.
Had to bug out after a couple of episodes of the second series. I couldn't do it anymore. I think the comic book is absolutely fantastic, but it just wasn't... I wasn't enjoying it for what it was. I'm not knocking it, but I was like, it's not really got the same tone as the comic.
I'm glad it's got a third season. I was really enjoying it at the beginning of the second season. It lost a little bit towards the end, but, you know, there's more Preacher on TV.
Horses, of course.
It's a shame they couldn't have continued the Constantine series. That's a shame. Yeah. I think that it needed to find its feet before they cancelled it, I think, you know.
I really enjoyed it, I have to say.
Yeah.
I think its problem was, is it Supernatural?
Yeah,
they kind of jumped the gun on it before it even got the, you know, that had already done a lot of, I mean, I would love to, they must have had a massive influence from Hellblazer for Supernatural. There's no other way around it, you know. And I thought that it was really, really good and just got cut off before it really got a chance to get going. You're right, Sony, yeah?
Yeah. And I know he's going to be in the absolutely... I actually think this is the best TV series ever made with some of the best acting. I know he's going to be in Legends of Tomorrow, isn't he?
Fucking hell.
speaking of horror. Now,
those series, this go from fucking bad to worse.
I don't know why I watch it. It's like a car wreck. I just watch it for the you know.
All of those shows, though, they seem to just get worse and worse and worse. Like Flash, Supergirl, Green Arrow, this personal, obviously. But it's just like, oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah. I haven't seen iZombie. Has anyone seen iZombie? That's a horror.
I've started watching comics, that. Isn't it?
It's any good?
It's all right. It's episodic.
Too fair,
it's lightweight. It's just, yeah.
We are in a golden age of kind of comic book.
Can't keep up with them, can you?
No.
When I saw that Justice League, the movie, that really shit one, I was like, hooray, fucking superheroes on screen.
Yeah.
We got the choice of, like, turning stuff down, so.
Yeah, the set looked like my office from work. Yeah.
Oh, God. Don't put the black light on.
I've stayed away from watching any trailers because I find they just fuck up my film experience. But like they did the Justice League trailer before Thor Ragnarok,
yeah,
and they're trying to make it a surprise somehow that Superman's going to come back at the end, and it's like you've done all but show him on screen. You've got, in every single little bit of the advertising, you've got Superman symbol, but he's not there.
Plus, it doesn't help that the soundtrack was has been released. Isn't that right, Dan? It's been.
That's right.
Yeah, and there's a track on there
that
has a Superman theme on it, doesn't it? Just very
it's called cool. Superman Comes Back and Beats Up Superman, Darkseid at the end of the film.
Literally, there is a track that has the John Williams cue on it. So,
yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, it's called Superman Comes Everywhere.
Yeah.
I do like the fact that him with his moustache, because you know he came back and did the reshoot with his moustache, looks like the dad character from Invincible, didn't he, Dan?
Yeah, that'd be ace.
Yeah.
If the John Williams thing comes on in the cinema, I'm going to fucking jump up, punch the air.
Yeah.
Look around at the fellow
people in the audience screaming, yes!
Can you believe it? It's Superman. He's not dead. Oh, my God.
And then I'm
going to
get
a
massive 2-litre drink and blast it in someone's face.
Yeah. And show your ass and run out.
Oh, I really just want to go to the cinema with Dan Butcher now. Just a witness. Yeah. Oh dear. Anyway, that was we had some comments.
That was a little aside.
Yeah, we had some comments on the Twitter, but I knew this conversation was going to go all over the shop. But there you go. That's been our horror themed chat, and we've got some recommendations coming up. But before that, have we got any shout outs?
I don't really think we have. Me and Guns are going to be at Wimbledon Library on the 11th. Come and see us. We'll be doing a little stage show for you. I'll be doing a bit of pole dancing. Yeah.
Oh, my God. Really?
That's not long by the time you hear this show.
Yeah, it's going to be cool. Sounds like it's going to be quite a good event. I'm looking forward to that.
I've got a couple, if I can do.
Go for it.
Okay. Yeah, it's just like, there's it's not particularly horror, but it's. Have any of you seen the Bastard Galaxia?
That's
all about that. Yes. Well, I think they've just bombed their fantastically their Kickstarter campaign for the printed version.
Okay.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah. If you've not read it, honestly, bastardgalaxia.com. It's absolutely fantastic. 80s theme. It's just nuts. I think you met Matt at Lancaster, didn't you?
We did. So, yeah, I did.
Yeah. Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah. They have a brilliant tale when they were at the lakes and they did a signing in a pub and like two people from Denmark turned up. That was.
How diverse is that?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, but yeah, brilliant. Honestly, check it out. They've done it. They've done really well with it. But it's, I mean, read it online if you can do. And just a bit of a shout. I'm hopefully going to be launching some stuff at Oldham Comic Con next year in May, which is a cracking Comic Con. I mean, I know it's a bit off yet, but it's a real. I mean, I think they had. Last May, they had 4,000 people through the door, and it's in a public library. Amazing, honestly. And it's free. It's completely free.
Honestly,
it's amazing. It's in the library, give it to them all free, and Dennis, who sorts it all out, it's absolutely fantastic, and it's a really good con. And in a way, I have to say, it's possibly a future of how they should be.
Yeah, okay.
You know, instead of, you know, I mean, cons are really cool, you know, and I thought Bubble was absolutely fantastic. But, you know, when you're talking to somebody, it cost them like, you know, somebody I knew took the family, it cost them like 60 quid, I think it was, to go for the day or something, for the weekend. I mean, it's a lot of money, isn't it,
yeah,
to cough out, to go into somewhere, yeah, to buy something. And yeah, you want to try and encourage people to come in. And I think that's sort of kind of the way to go. For me, anyway.
Yeah, I think you're right. And it's something I've talked to a few people about, and I think doing a library con like that works, and also doing like a small con in a comic shop, I think is a good idea. We saw that with Swindon, Sarah Harris,
yeah,
and right, that went down really well, and yeah, I put a review up of it on the blog, and it's still one of the most read things I've put up. I think people do have a genuinely big interest in it, you know.
Yeah.
And the other thing I'd say is don't be put off by it being in Oldham. I think it was that you told me that.
No, mate. I'll set a badger on you if you're not careful. Fucking buy it there, dude.
Get TB if a badger.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, dear.
Yeah, those are mine too. But honestly, check it out if you get the chat. It's just really good. Yeah.
Awesome. Put that in the show notes. Just a quick one. Myself and Daniel Mark Chant, our book, yes, Devil Kickers, is going to be, well, this release on the 30th. It's out on the 31st, isn't
midnight.
It, Dan?
Is it midnight it's coming out, or?
Dan's sorting it out.
About that, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, good.
Yeah. Yeah. So you can pre-order the digital now, or if you listen to this show a couple of days after Halloween, then it's available now. So go on Amazon and get it, because it's really good.
Can we get hard copies of it?
There are hard copies on the way. We're just finalising the final design and page layout and stuff. So
that
will be available shortly.
It'll
after.
Put me well. Down for a hard copy.
Yeah, I want a bit of Jester Diablo on my shelf.
I know you two love it hard.
Yeah. Hard one from JD.
The hard or the soft option. We'll always go hard.
Yeah.
But no, we're very proud of the book. It's been a long time coming.
Good. And,
yeah. I'll probably be ranting more about it as the weeks go on. You know, now that I've actually got something to flog, I'm gonna.
It's not a show. We can say what we fucking like.
We can say what we fucking.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's the only reason I started this thing, just so I could flog my.
So I have the book on the way.
The long con. Yeah. Yeah. 2.5 years now to sell a book.
The pilot episode was 2 hours of him crying, just saying, "Please love me."
You said you didn't listen. Anyway,
technically, it's called cranking.
Oh God, let's just.
It was uncomfortable, but he saw it through.
Yeah. Are you going for a pull quote? Pardon the pun. Hey. Right. There's five of us. We've got recommendations to do, and we're on the final stretch. So let's just get through this, shall we?
This is place for it. Yeah.
I'm sat comfy here with my cans. I could be here all night. Don't you worry about it.
We're out. Yeah. Oh, I just listened to 11 o'clock comics, which had was 5 hours long. So let's go. Let's do it.
5 hour podcast. Jesus.
No.
You had a shout out on the most recent ones. Is that correct?
I did. Very kind of them. Yeah, they mentioned me and Nick and Cockney Kung Fu. Very kind of them. Yeah. Yeah, big shout. I meet up with them every year for a beer at New York, and I've listened to all their episodes, and they're good lads. Yeah, yeah, very good.
Yeah, that's another
if
shout
you
out.
Get chance, check out Instagram now, Tony or Vince, because Ian Ashcroft has done a picture of Red Mask, Red, and Pendragon in one, and it's absolutely fantastic.
Oh,
is it?
Really?
Ian.ashcroft.art on Instagram. So
oh, okay.
Go check that.
Oh, brilliant.
Oh, right.
That's my shout out.
Nicely done. I'm going to search for that while Tony tells us his recommendation.
I might go first. Can we not? Let's have the guests go first.
All right, then.
Yeah.
Who wants to go first? Come on.
Go for it.
Yeah, go on then, dude. Yeah, go on.
Right, me? Yeah?
Yeah.
Hang on, can. Right, so. I think I did mention this to you before, Tony. So I think recommendation. Probably one of the best. I think absolutely terrifying, certainly at the time, and still holds up, I think, these days. It's Straight Horses by Bill Sienkiewicz.
Yes, yeah.
Which I don't know if anybody else read that at all.
Now, when you said it, I went back and looked at it a little bit, but I haven't read it since it came out. Was it late 80s, early 90s? Was it came out?
if I remember rightly, I think it was under, was it under that Epic Marvel?
Okay.
Was it originally or something like that? You know, when they used to do like the sort of four sort of small, like almost trade paperbacks, didn't they? Where there was a bit of a fashion for it for a while. And it was like a bit like when Elektra came out and Dark Knight. It's that kind of, that period, wasn't it, when they came out? So
it was, real experimental. I mean, when you that little 5-year period, fuck me, the books that came out in that period.
Amazing
stuff. Yeah.
Probably one of the most creative, I think, sort of certainly art. I mean, writing, obviously, but artistic wise, he really went for it. You know, I mean, and they had time really before computers as well. You know, so you know, big, massive, fully painted things. I suppose Dave McKean came to a sort of his height as well at that period as well. But it's hard to describe really because it's like a serial killer horror. Science fiction, it's just completely fucked up beyond belief, to be honest with you. It is amazing, and I think you can still get a collect because I think it's an anniversary, so I'm pretty sure you can still get a trade of it. But it's probably Bill Sienkiewicz, he's absolute most mental, I would say. Yeah. I mean, the whole thing is made up of it's like collages, and he's built things, and there's like actual wires in the artwork. It's amazing. I can't recommend it enough to
and it's anyone. Real nightmare stuff, isn't it? It's real stuff of your nightmares, you know.
Yeah. The imagery, it changes from sort of like these amazingly beautiful painted images to these like twisted, sort of surreal sort of images of what's going on in this guy's mind while talking to like sort of like gore, really nasty stuff, but it's like off shot all the time, isn't it?
Yeah.
You know, it's always so it makes it even more horrific, really. I can't recommend it enough. And it's like probably for me the like classic horror comic, I think, really. And probably one of the most terrifying. Yeah, I can't recommend it enough. Check it out.
Yeah, I loved it. And I think of it, so I love it. He's never done a bad drawing as far as I'm concerned, but he used that thing where it's almost like he drew a full page painting on some of the pages, but then he separated it using panels, and if you imagine what I mean by that, so it's the same picture but broken up into panels, and it's really clever the way he does it. You know, he's prepared. His emotion and he just acts on instinct when he draws. I think it's the way I see him anyway. You know, and he's using two. I mean, I know Matt Harrow is a huge fan of his, and he says you watch him and he'll use a toothbrush or he'll throw paint on a page and play with it. And you know, it's an incredibly clever mind to do that, I think. He's a super nice bloke as well.
I mean, he's sort of like, there's oil paintings in it, there's like pastel paintings in it. Like, say, he uses like photocopiers and just amazing, incredible stuff. If you've never read it, I think it was like a four issues just looking now, it was Epic Comics, which, I mean, Epic Comics at the time, I mean, that was Marvel doing stuff before Vertigo, but it just never took off, did it? Because he used to do a big magazine version of it as well. But yeah, amazing. Check it out, it is incredible. And you'll not sleep for days afterwards.
Nice, that's quite a recommendation.
Yeah.
Like this show. To the second Dan, the unlucky one, what would you like to recommend this week?
Well, I think, I know we talked about the Winchester houses earlier, so I think it's quite apt that A House of Penance trade paperback from Dark Horse. I'm not sure if you know about it. It's from Peter Tomasi and the artist Ian Bertram. It's really about sort of guilt, guns and ghosts, I suppose, would probably be the best way to describe it. Without spoiling anything, it's certainly worth a read.
Okay.
Guilt, guns and ghosts. Bloody hell.
What
a combo.
That's
how I live my life.
That's my life. Yeah.
Jesus.
You missed off dildos. Yeah, I did.
I'm glad you're here to say that. Help me.
All right. Dan Butcher.
This is the title that got sent in to us. I think I'm going to fuck this up.
Herrera.
It's the latest Madius release. They've done a special one for Halloween, so you can purchase this the day after this podcast is released. I was going to say they hear it, but you probably won't listen to it on, or not many people listen to it on the first day it comes out. That's a lie.
I think most of our people listen to it.
Yeah. So it's got three tails in it. You can buy it from www.payhip.com/Herrera. And it's going for the princely sum of £1.50. There's three comments in it. I have to admit, hold my hand up, there's an Octopus and Raven one, and I could not work out what was going in that story. So if you can, please tell me. You're a better person than me.
Yeah.
The octopus is the octopus ladies. Is it a lady? Her face looked quite good. I like that drawing. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting. I feel like design. There was a kind of a bigger tail there, and I wasn't getting it.
Yeah. If they developed that character into a sort of horror icon thing, I'd like to see that. I think.
Yeah.
That was just a little taster for somebody who's going to be coming back. Then I kind of dig that. You know.
Yeah.
If you see what I mean. Yeah.
Nice. Yeah. Go check that out.
Nice.
The Maddiest guys.
Yeah, the Maddiest guys. You can't escape them. That's made them sound like they're horrific when we love them. My choice for this week is one I've been sitting on to talk about for a while, which is... not like that, Tony. just everyone calm down.
Turns camera on, drops trousers.
Oh, God. I need this to happen.
Pulls out the stick.
Right, my pick for this week is the book Witch Creek Road, issues 1 and 2, that are being published by just independently by someone calling themselves Releasing the Serpents. Story and letters by Garth Mathams. Art by Keenan Halilovic. I hope I got that right. And colours just by Amber. Now, I got this on a Kickstarter recently, which is like one of those classic sort of $1 digital, get the book, and you get issues 1 and 2. Such good value. And I think Mike Garley posted up the Kickstarter, so I checked it out. And it looks so good that I just had to pledge. I broke my Kickstarter dry spell for it. Witch Creek Road basically follows a group of high school seniors and explores the consequences of taking the wrong road. At its core, it's survival horror. But it's also a story about love, acceptance, death and revenge, and sexy flesh-eating demons, because every story needs sexy flesh-eating demons. That's actually in the synopsis. That's not something I've written. But it's such a great horror book. I absolutely loved this. From the pacing to the story points and the twists and turns, it's really got it all, and it's put together so well that it's actually surprising it doesn't have an Image logo attached to it. It's that kind of sort of professionalism. Garth is creating one hell of a dark, twisted... There's definitely a bigger universe being told with this story, which at points is like a supernatural slasher story, which turns into a great Evil Dead-style cabin survival horror. And this is just in the first two issues. Properly gruesome, but without being too over the top, which I think a lot of horror comics fall foul of, which we spoke about earlier. But everything here is to add to the atmosphere. And there's a really disturbing creature that appears in issue 2 that was just awesome. I so want to talk about it, the way it looks and what happens with it. But I think I loved it more because I knew nothing about it. So when it arrived, I was like, oh my God, that's so twisted. That's really creepy. And it's down to the brilliant work of Keenan's art. And sort of concept design. His art style
reminds... English guys or...?
They're Canadian, I believe.
Oh, okay. Yeah. All right.
Keenan's art reminded me of Mike Norton's in the best kind of way. You know, lots of nice character work that sort of... It gives layers and adds emotion to probably what would have been fairly lifeless scenes in other hands. Do you know what I mean? Like, characters actually react. You see them react. And I think some art, especially with horror comics, they can be a little bit... lazy. I don't want to point that finger at anyone in particular. That's just an over. Like, scenes of horror need to have that reaction. You've got to be able to see something visceral and see characters react, and this has got it. And the colours perfectly complement it too. So it's not
cool.
Not garish. There's lots of like nice night scenes and blue tones. So it's just really good. And there's flashback scenes that add more to the characters. I devoured the first two issues in quick succession, and I can't wait to see how the story develops. So I bloody loved it. And if you like horror, and you like just really well-told horror tales with some cool monsters and cool designs, Witch Creek Road is definitely you should check it out. You can read the entire first issue. I believe it's on Webtoons or Tapastic or Tapas, whatever
okay.
it is. Yeah. But if you wanted...
Oh, there's actually something good on Tapastic then.
Yeah, yeah. if you don't want to check that out, you can read the first issue in entirety on releasingtheserpents.com. So, you know, you it's can see all of... Yeah, you can get that in, and I love it. It's got some really cool characters, and yeah, gruesome. Lovely. Tony, what's yours?
Well, mine is a comic that did entail me releasing my serpent on the odd occasion, to be fair.
Yes!
Yeah. Here we go.
I went old school, I went to Comixology, and this is a collection of stories that come from an anthology title. So it's Vampirella, The Essential Warren Years. Now, if you go to Comixology now, it's $6.99 for 452 pages. That's not bad, is it?
Bloody hell.
Yeah. Can't go wrong with that at all.
Yeah. So what they've done is they've... Vampirella was a sort of creepy, eerie type magazine, and the central character is Vampirella, who has her own stories told, but also on the odd occasion introduces other sort of short horror stories. There's a couple of continuing Panther is a female character who appears and reappears, but it's mostly sort of one-off horror stories, you know. So, but she does have this story that runs through all the issues. So I think there was about 120 odd issues of Vampirella. So this collects all of her bits of stories from those, if that explains it. It doesn't collect them from the Harris comics or from the Dynamite comics, which came later, but you couldn't go wrong for that amount. Some of the writers, I just picked out a few names. So you've got Forrest J. Ackerman, who it wrote the origin story. And then you've got Steve Englehart, who's most famous for the Avengers and JLA and stuff like that. He wrote some of it. And Len Wein writes some of it. I'm a big fan of Len Wein's, and it's a shame that he passed recently, but I'm a big fan of his writing. The art is fucking unbelievable. Absolutely unbelievable. Tom Sutton, if anyone knows Tom Sutton's work. He did Planet of the Apes.
Yeah.
Yeah, Planet of the Apes, Grimjack, eerie, loads for Eerie and Creepy. Some Werewolf by Night. Mike Royer does some of the opening episodes, and Mike's probably best known for being an inker for Kirby's work, actually, but does some great stuff himself as well. Jose Gonzalez, who is most famous for this character, and there's a great art book that Dynamite have brought out recently, which you can get, sort of highlights a lot of his art. And then Jose Ortiz, who's probably best known for his English comic stuff. He did some Rogue Trooper, but going back to what we were talking about earlier, he also did the 13th Floor in Scream, Vince.
Oh,
if
right.
If you remember him. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, really, really lovely sort of black and white art throughout it. Very, very little of it is in colour. There's the odd tiny bit that's in colour for this series, but gorgeous black and white stuff. Now, Vampirella, as we all know, wears, you know, two bits of hanky for a costume. You know?
Yeah.
And a white collar. But was actually, the costume was actually devised by Trina Robbins, if anyone's heard of her. She was a sort of... Yeah, mostly known for sort of underground comics, really. She's also, strangely, one of the best friends of Jim Morrison from The Doors. And she did some work on Wonder Woman as well. She did Women's Comics, W-I Women's Comics with an X, and she did Dope for Eclipse as well. And most famously, Frank Frazetta did the cover to, I think, issue one. I didn't really jump on Vampirella until I read the novels. I would like to, yeah. There's a terrible Vampirella movie, which is fucking unwatchable. Have you seen it?
Really?
Yeah.
No, I've not watched
it. If it doesn't star Caroline Monroe, I do not want to see that.
No, exactly. And it's got the guy from The Who. Roger Daltrey's in it, and he's terrible in it. But I think Roger Daltrey was actually any good in anything, even though the movies were quite good around him, were they, you know? And the novel's actually quite expensive to buy. They're written by Ron Goulet, but he was also a sort of, he wrote a load of sort of B movies and he wrote a load of comics and stuff like that. And they were quite fun. But this is the only bit of Vampirella that I actually ever enjoyed. I think Dynamite tried to do it and didn't. Harris Comics tried to do it, but I think Mark Millen wrote it, it just became a bit of an echo of the sort of 90s TNA stuff that was going on. I didn't really dig that.
I think because of that, it's certainly a character that I've not had interest in because of, like, you know, you just think it's going to be fairly derivative of, you know.
And most recently, Paul Cornell's written in. It's just Paul Cornell sort of put her in a biker costume, and it's like, it's just sort of sucked all the life out of it, and I've just completely dropped off it recently. But she's essentially an alien Vampirella, for those that don't know, although it's got quite a sexy one. She comes from the planet, get this, she comes from the planet Draculon, where the rivers the rivers and rain are all formed of, it's not water, but it's hemoglobin. So there's a drought and everyone is dying, and all the blood has dried up in the rivers and the seas and stuff. But luckily, a spaceship lands. Vampirella drinks the blood of the spacemen and then heads off in the ship to the good old USA. She has your sort of typical wacky, whacked up, trippy 1970s adventures where she sort of wanders around. She gets involved in a cult who worship the devil, in a sort of crazy sanitarium where the doctor's trying to treat her, but of course he falls in love with her and tries to have sex with her. And then she tries to be an actress in Hollywood, and that doesn't work out because she's just too sexy. She travels about with Pendragon, who's a sort of drugged up magician. It's just fucking fun, really.
Yeah.
It's just crazy. It's typical of everything else that was going on in the sort of wacky media, you know, the movies of the time and stuff like that. It's got the art in it is breathtaking. To a man, everyone kills on it. It is a little bit naughty, you know, it is a little bit sort of cheeky, but it's done with an eye to say that, you know, she's the hero. She's the one who comes out in the end. All these sort of sleazy blokes are ones that always fall to the side. You know, it's a bit like that. So people who don't appreciate this, Vampirella, everyone goes, oh, is that Elvira? You know, it seems to be the sort of go-to sort of parallel that people make. And it's very different. You won't find a better buy. So go to Comixology, Vampirella, The Essential Warren Years. Now, Warren was the company that brought out her black and white magazine, as they did a lot of black and white magazines, you know. Mm. Good stuff. Really good.
It's a classic character that I think, you know, probably a lot of people need to check out more of, you know.
I think if you're going to buy back issues, I bought some back issue magazines. The ones that have got her sort of tied up on the cover tend to be the more expensive ones. I'm not saying that's I'm drawing a line.
Really? There you go. This is a surprise, yeah?
What was Trina Robbins thinking about, eh?
Well, maybe she was thinking about emailing us.
Oh my god. She wouldn't. Not after listening to today, probably, anyway. But there you go.
Well, but if she did want to.
Diablo, 1981 at hotmail.com.
AOL, actually. If she wanted to get in touch and tell us what she thought of what we've said about the horror genre this week,
we'd love it to.
Then she's got several different ways she can get in touch with us. And likewise, you. If you want to get in touch with us, you can email us awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Any new news, events, anything, you can also get in touch with us, tony.awesomecomicspod@gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter @TheAwesomePod. Like us on Facebook, facebook.com/awesomecomicspodcast. And join the place to be on Facebook, which is Awesome Comics Talk, the group that everyone's talking in. Not about, but they're talking in. Yeah. And they're talking about comics.
Added an extra question to the joining thing now today. Did you see that?
No,
I didn't see that.
Because it used to just say, are you listening to the podcast? And people would write, yes. And yeah. I'd like, okay, well, what can I say about that? They've answered the question. So I've added an extra question because I got two people I okayed and they immediately messaged me saying, oh, can I send you my comic? Or they immediately tried to post, here's my comic for sale. And I thought, okay, so let's add an extra question. Yeah. So you've got to go through a little bit of a question about, you'll see when you come.
I did approve someone the other day that said sometimes I'm quite a bit behind. So I can't really knock that honesty.
That's right.
So like, yeah, approved it.
Fine. Yeah, but we truly appreciate you that you've listened to this episode.
Yeah,
whenever you've listened to it, we don't care. You know, if you discovered us.
Someone did comment that they listened to the covers episode and they've got a lot out of it.
Yeah, I saw that. That was nice.
Yeah. So that's. I've even got another kind of practical one, if you can call it that, coming up relatively
practical.
Soon.
Practical. Practical in
process, I think.
Yeah, well, you know, either or, as long as people learn something, probably as long as what they learn is not to listen to us,
learn to hate us.
But join that group and thank you for listening to us, whether it was on the website awesomecomics.podbean.com. If you listen to us on iTunes, then leave us a review, helps get the word out about the show, and also Stitcher, Podnose, Podknife. I'm trying to think of other names to call networks because I'm sure there's...
Podboner.
Normally you say Podbum, so I appreciate
Podbum. Yeah. Podblumpkin.
But where, whatever network you heard us on.
Pod on.
Wherever you heard us, thank you very, very much. And spread the word, and let's get some more people listening to this show. And thank you to I say all three Dans, because I think we all had to put up with having nicknames. We truly appreciate you all coming on, and it was a right laugh.
Wasn't that much of a burden to me.
I hate you.
And please don't put any of the conversation we had before we started on the
Jesus,
show.
Jesus, no.
Yeah. Yeah. There was...
I've had enough.
Got a bit blue.
For all you lovely listeners, you'll never hear the first 15 minutes. because we
but
can't.
If you go to our Patreon page...
Yeah.
We can't for...
You can wait 30 years and then just bring it out then. That'd be all right.
Yeah.
Freedom of Information Act.
Yeah.
Right now it's going into the vault for legal, religious,
beneath
moral
ACP
reasons.
Tower.
Yeah. Yeah. So you'll never know. Part of me is tempted to put some of it in, but no, I can't. I've got to be strong.
Oh, God.
But where can people find us online, etc.? Tony?
EzOhyz on Twitter. I'm going to forego my usual one and just say go and back the Human Beings issue 4 on Kickstarter. If you go to the Kickstarter page, you'll see there's a little blurb I've written on it. I'm a big fan of Stuart McCune's work. Going back, I know it's past this amount, but if you keep going, I think he's promised some signed prints which look gorgeous, which I would rather like. Yeah, so go to that.
Nice.
There you go.
Butcher.
I'm on Twitter at Vanguard Comic, and you can read Vanguard at vanguardcomic.com.
I heard the speed in your voice then. I'm not saying Dan's
Dan Charlie's sending his porn.
Oh. We almost made it all the way through a show before someone tried sending us something disgraceful. This is
trying to cheer up towards the end of the day, you know. This is Sunday after all.
You've already ruined that, Dan. Don't tell them. Don't tell them what day it is. You know, they don't want to know the sausage.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, a fake Sunday.
You can follow me on Twitter at Jester Diablo, and you can find out more about my comic at theredmousefrommars.com and order Devil Kickers on Amazon because I've written words with my mate Dan. And it's
nice technique. Well done.
And Charnley,
can't wait to read it.
you read, Dan? Well done. Charnley, where can people find you?
You can Instagram, it's Dan's Monsters. Twitter's Dan Monsters. Dan's Monsters. I don't really use Facebook. That's a horror story in itself. So, but Instagram's where it's at. If you look for Dan's Monsters on Instagram, you'll see everything on there.
And you should.
Great. What I'm doing. Awesome. Yeah, I really love your Instagram page. Really.
Thank you.
Nice.
Yeah. Thank you very much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Yes, it's amazing. And Daniel Mark Chant, the thorn in my side this week. Where can people find you online, etc.?
Well, if I'm not in your mother's bed, then they can find me at Daniel Mark Chant on Twitter.
Which you can actually see online.
Yes. 24-hour webcam. Fuck. I'm sorry. I'm so sorry.
Dan, you know when I said I keep the audio?
Jesus.
Come around for Sunday dinner.
Yeah. So there you go. It's another one in the bag, and quite fittingly for the Halloween special, it's been an absolute horror show.
When I get out of prison in 20 years, I can't wait to come back.
Yes, thank you.
Sending more porn.
And on that,
he really is, isn't he?
On that note, folks, as Rome is burning around me, thank you very much for listening. And for myself, Tony, and Dan, have a brilliant week. Read loads of comics, and as always, stay awesome. See ya.
It's amazing how black that is.
Bye!
how long have you known Vince for, Dan?
Oh, God. well, probably the best part of, what, 30, 36 years?
Yeah. Let's call you Unlucky Dan.
Yeah.
Fucking hate it. Hang on a minute. Hang on. I hate technology, so I'm just going to hang on. Hang on. Oh, that's better. Right.
Was that your trousers? Anyway. Right,
Oh, God, that's better. Yeah, it was, actually. I'm quite relaxed now. So we're all anyway.
We all like to have a pre-record wank. Is everyone the same as me? They like to have one before. Yeah.
Oh, sorry. I might have done that already.
Settle the nerves.
I was so excited. Oh. Carried away with myself.
Oh, God.
This hasn't even started.
I know.
Yeah, what's that like?
Well, last time I saw that much space was when I looked in the sky. So,
Fucking hell.
It was pretty bad. Yeah.
Careful, you're triggering me.
I mean, I've given up on any sort of structure that this show may have, judging by the past 10 minutes. So, right. So,
come on, Vince. It's where small press makes one hell of a big noise.
Oh, fuck you.
I've got a feeling this is going to go either really well or really badly. Yeah. I'm hoping for badly.